The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, January 24th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, one person was injured when a gunman opened fire on a driver in a case of a suspected road rage in Montgomery County. It happened at 9:30 Wednesday night on the northbound lanes of Route 309 near Highland Ave in Upper Dublin Township. Police say the victim was shot in the arm but managed to drive to the Pennsylvania Turnpike interchange in Fort Washington. Police arrived at the scene and transported the victim to Abington Memorial Hospital, where he's in stable condition. His truck was recovered on the turnpike. Police believe the shooter was in a maroon coupe with possibly New Jersey license plates. They say there were two people in the car. The vehicle was last seen going north on 309, and they're asking anybody with information to please contact police. But this guy shot in some sort of road rage incident and was able to get himself away from the shooter.
I've gone through that toll booth many, many times. Imagine you're the toll booth worker and somebody pulls up and goes,
yeah.
Hey, I've been shot.
Right.
And I wonder if they had to wait a couple of cars to pay their toll before they got up to the toll booth worker. But that's crazy. So they're looking for this person, Kath.
And, yeah. They said a maroon coupe, they think a New Jersey license plate, and they believe that there were two people in the car at the time. So anybody with information, obviously contact police.
You know, you brought up a while ago, Preston, about cable installers might see when they arrive at various houses. Imagine what toll booth people.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been keeping a running list.
I'm going to jot that down on here.
That's one that needs to be explored.
Of one that we need to go specifically to and ask what you've seen on the job. I'm going to write that down, toll booth workers.
Yeah, that's got to be another interesting one for sure.
My my little brother says the nastiest, meanest person he ever met was this toll booth worker. He said it looked like the guy literally had his nose bitten off.
By a Saigon whore?
I don't know. But that, like, you know, he talks about that guy from time to time. He's like, his nose was bitten cleanly off of his face. I'm like, well, maybe that's why he's so mad.
I might be angry.
It'll certainly ruin your afternoon.
I didn't have a nose.
We'll explore that later on.
Yeah. President Donald Trump says he is postponing his State of the Union address until the partial government shutdown ends, yielding after a week-long shutdown with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Following the high-stakes game of Dare and now Double Dare, Trump conceded Wednesday night that no venue that can compete with history, tradition, and importance of the House chamber.
Wait a second. Are you saying that Trump is doing Double Dare?
What?
Physical challenge.
That is so good. It's going to be extraordinary. I want to climb out of the big nose.
I don't care where you stand politically. Yeah. That would be a blast.
That would be amazing. He said he was not looking for an alternate option after
Pelosi. This is the best time of my life.
Served notice earlier in the day that he wouldn't be allowed to deliver the address to a joint session of Congress next week. Pelosi had taken the step after Trump said he planned to show up in spite of the Democratic objections to speak taking place with large portions of the government shut down. Denied the grand venue, Trump promised to come up with some sort of alternate event. The White House scrambled to find a site matching the gravitas of the traditional address. As the shutdown was going on, Nancy Pelosi asked me to give the State of the Union address. I agreed, Trump tweeted shortly after 11 o'clock. She then changed her mind because of the shutdown, suggesting a later date. This was her prerogative. I will do the address when the shutdown is over.
There's some good news for Trump because Matt Calper's working on Harris.
It's pretty much a done deal.
Right in that news story, Steve, they say it. They're having trouble finding a place.
Exactly.
The set of Double Dare is open.
It's available. There you go. Props are still there.
Mark tweeted out, or he Instagrammed out a little video of the studio yesterday. It'd be perfect. The whole
wide open.
The members could fit in there.
Yeah.
State of the Union, and then just a quick game of Double Dare.
Watch the viewership for that State of the Union. they routinely never get watched.
A fire at a Montgomery County restaurant forced customers out into the cold last night. Flames could be seen on the roof of Redstone Grill at the Plymouth Meeting
Hall.
Oh,
my God!
I'm going to starve. The fire was reported at about 6:30 yesterday evening. They said that the restaurant was full at the time.
That's when the downward spiral began.
Seriously.
Behind the music, the Kathy Romano story.
Casey texted me last night, and I said, I know. And my brother texted me, too. He goes, you go there at least, like, once or twice a week, right?
I'm
like, yes.
At least once a week?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
At least once a week.
On a slow week.
Yeah.
That's a slow week.
I mean, honestly, I don't think, I mean, sit-down restaurant-wise, There isn't a place that I go to with that sort of regularity.
Yeah, that's where I go. Wow. I said to Nick, sometimes I'm like embarrassed where I'm like, God, we hope the same people aren't working tonight.
I have a couple of haunts that I go to. I know you do.
Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, we used to. Well, we haven't gone as much, but it was once a week. Yeah, and we knew the serving staff and the managers and all that stuff. Yeah.
Cooper's in Manayunk, Iron Hill Brewery, and Harvest.
Yeah. When I sit down, they go, have you been here before? And they go, seriously. So crews were on the scene within 4 minutes, and they say customers had already been evacuated. Firefighters battled the blaze from the roof and had the fire under control in about 20 minutes. Now, reports say that the fire started in the exhaust vent in the kitchen. Redstone is closed pending an investigation. I guess the health department has to come in, and based on the damage, we'll see when they can reopen.
You'll have to walk over to Bertucci's, right?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I might have to cook, but I...
No.
There's a P.F. Chang's right across from that.
There is.
There's a Redstone
California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah,
just go to Cherry Hill.
I gotta go to Cherry Hill.
There's a Redstone in Cherry Hill.
But that's not easy. Yeah. That's not as easy, you know? Well, that's a little bit of a ride.
Do you want to sacrifice, or don't you?
I know. Yeah. Yes, that's true. You're right.
You know, there are people in this world who aren't anywhere near a Redstone.
If I was there, and there was a fire... Like, if I was there last night, I would have grabbed the big... pineapple Dole.
I was going to say, yes.
And probably the cookie sundaes, just to make sure they were all okay.
Yeah. You know? Kathy would have John McClane'd it over with an axe.
Kath, I'm sorry for your loss, dude.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I don't think, fortunately, there were no injuries, so that's good. Everybody
Hopefully
got out.
Not too much damage to the restaurant.
Right,
too,
and so. they can fix this up and get it reopened. I'm starving, guys. I'm starving. All right, in sports this morning. Joel Embiid had 33 points and 19 rebounds, and the Sixers used two separate four-point plays in the fourth quarter to beat the San Antonio Spurs 122-120 last night in South Florida.
Very, very exciting game. Yeah, the last 2.5 minutes were just enthralling.
Embiid, who was expected to be named an all-star starter later today, scored 16 straight points that kept the Sixers in the game. Landry Shamet had a four-point play late in the fourth that pulled the Sixers within one, then later hit a three to make it a three-point game. J.J. Redick gave the Sixers a 121-120 lead with 1 minute left after he converted the team their second four-point play of the fourth. Up next for the Sixers is a four-game road trip out west, starting with a game against the Nuggets on Saturday night. The Flyers continue their bye week and are off until Monday night when they'll return to the ice to host the Winnipeg Jets. When the late Roy Halladay is inducted later this summer into baseball's Hall of Fame, he will go in as neither a member of the Toronto Blue Jays or as the Philadelphia Phillies, the two teams with which he played. Instead, he'll enter as simply a former player. The baseball cap on his plaque will be blank and won't have a logo of either team he played for. Halladay's widow, Brandy, made the announcement when speaking to reporters at a news conference with her two sons by her side. This is the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, Brandy Halladay said. It's not the Phillies Hall of Fame, and it's not the Blue Jays Hall of Fame. Roy is going in as a Major League Baseball player, and that's what he is. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Hey.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We're ready to go on a Thursday morning. Let's put some money in your pocket, maybe $1,000. We have our Go Fund Yourself contest going to be taking place at 8. Hopefully you know that and how it works. If not, bring you up to speed on the particulars on that. It's pretty easy stuff. We have an exciting day today. Two guests in the studio this morning. We have the legendary Richard Roundtree stopping by. Richard Roundtree is the guy who portrayed Shaft back in the 1970s.
I'm a huge fan.
That movie came out, and there were subsequent Shaft films. Yes. He's done a lot of other things throughout the years, but what an iconic role that he played.
Second film, he was the lead in it.
No kidding.
And it started the blaxploitation craze of the 70s. Yeah. Virtually saved MGM. It's an incredible point in movie history.
So he is in the movie What Men Want, and that stars Taraji P. Henson. But it also has in it a gentleman named Aldis Hodge.
I like him.
And he's really cool, too. I've seen him in several movies, and he's on the TV show Leverage, which is one of those, you know, kind of crime solving shows. So it's on at my house all the time. And
it's got that guy Christian in it, right?
Yes, exactly. Who came by to visit us. Casey asked him if he had it. Do you have a sister, Christian? And then started playing this song.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. But anyhow, they're both stopping by later on today, which should be cool.
Yeah, I like what they're doing because the original movie was with Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt.
And I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
And this is a lot more R-rated.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks more fun. A lot of cameos in it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so, I dig it.
They're going to be stopping by around 9 o'clock, so get yourself set for that. And you know what? I want to mention this. I only gave it one mention yesterday. I need to make sure that I hit this again because our deadline for this is Friday morning. So we do what are called meet and eats here at the radio station, specifically on our show. Restaurants will come in and they'll bring us food. And we serve it to our guests, and we'll do giveaways, you know, gift cards and things like that. It's a chance for us to taste some great food and tell you if we like it or not.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Spread the love about the restaurant. And it's generally you have to purchase the thing because it's for advertising.
Yes.
But we're going to give away one of these for free, a chance for you to come by, bring some food. We do some giveaways. You meet our listeners, and we talk about your place of business, your restaurant. If you are interested, we're going to give one away. What you have to do is enter online, click contest at WMMR.com, and look for what's called the Meet and Eat giveaway. If you know somebody that runs a restaurant, they might not be listening right now, get in touch with them, let them know about this, because it's a really cool thing. It's some nice exposure. The winning restaurant needs to be able to do it, by the way, next Thursday, and should be able to have food prepared for 20 people by about 7:30 a.m. So we'd love to do that. We'll promote your restaurant and the food that you brought in throughout the entire morning. So once again, go to the website, WMMR.com, and click on contest and look for the Meet and Eat giveaway. So restaurant owners, please do that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. The stupid question and the entertainment report are what we get started with. So we'll do that very thing when we return. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
Steven Singer Jewelers is not revealing one new gold-dipped rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Something I need to mention that we have set up. Casey just got this information to me. The past couple days we've been giving away tickets to see Phish as they're coming in town for 3 days. And today we have a chance for you to win 3-day lawn passes to see them. BB&T Pavilion, June 28th to the 30th, and we're going to do kind of a secret text word thing, right?
Yeah.
That we're doing?
Yeah, so we...
So instead of texting secret, you text fish to 39333.
Correct.
And then we send a word back to you.
Yep.
And later on, we'll ask you to call in. So that's what we're doing. So text fish, P-H-I-S-H. If you're interested in winning these tickets to 39333, and we'll send that word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with it, and the designated caller wins those tickets. So tickets are on sale tomorrow, by the way, at 11 a.m. through Ticketmaster.
Does this kind of piss you off, Preston? Because you purchased tickets for all 3 days, and now you know that we have them.
I didn't even know I had
them. Well, yeah.
Now you can sell them in the lot, man. You know what I'm saying?
See how torn up I am?
Yeah, man.
All right, so do that right now. But in the meantime, something completely different. We are going to have a chance for you to win via the stupid question. Today's question, if you get it correct, we're going to give you tickets to Major League Wrestling, which is coming up February 2nd at the 2300 Arena. What was Atari's first arcade game called?
Atari's first arcade game.
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR, our number. What was Atari's first arcade game called? All right, call 215-263-WMMR. We'll see if you can get it right. Today's birthdays. Let me go through those. It is the 24th day of January. Misha Barton celebrates her birthday today. Yep.
Happy birthday to me.
She's had a little bit of a troubled life. But things seem to be okay now.
Yeah. What happened troubling wise?
You know, she'd freak out now and then. And she was going, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it's depression. She could have some, you know, mental medical issues. So I don't know specifically, but okay. She kept popping up in the news. And I think she's now on a reboot of The Hills or it's something like that.
Okay.
So it's sort of a reality show, but she was known first, I first saw her on The O.C.
Correct. And but she made some appearances in movies like The Sixth Sense and Notting Hill.
Yeah, she's Puking Girl.
Yeah, she's Puke Girl, yep.
Yeah.
She's 33 years old today, Misha Barton. Ed Helms celebrates his birthday today. The Office, The Hangover, The Hangover 2, The Hangover 3.
You know what he's really good in a dramatic role? He's in the movie Chappaquiddick.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Is it a good movie?
It is a good movie.
Okay.
It is a very good movie.
I want to see that.
Yeah, and it'll give you some interesting insights, and it's pretty factual.
I believe it. Yeah.
He was the first guest I ever booked for the President and Steve show.
No kidding.
Back at Y100, yeah.
Nice guy. I remember that. He's 45 years old today, as was this guy, Matthew Lillard. He was in our studio one time. And I remember him making fun about the fact how his career was going to go nowhere and people will always remember him as Shaggy.
That was it.
And that he would be at doing kids' birthdays parties.
Yeah.
And you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot in the past few years.
He does enough to subsist.
I guess so.
Nothing earth-shattering, but he pops up now and then. He's in one of my favorite guilty pleasure horror movies was the remake of 13 Ghosts.
He was kind of an it guy for a little bit when Scream and She's All That and those movies came out. And he did stand out in those movies, no question, than Shaggy and for the Scooby-Doo
movies.
He had
a smaller role in, what was that?
The Descendants.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
With Clooney. Yeah, he's really good in that.
So he's 49 today. Let me see. Natasha Kinski.
Ah, yes.
The actress, movie Cat People.
She's naked in that a lot.
Very
is
naked.
She?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful woman.
She was the It Girl. She was also in a movie that I really love called One from the Heart, a Francis Ford Coppola movie.
Okay. She is celebrating her 58th birthday today. And then the last one, Casey, see this?
I got you, bro.
It's a biggie. It's Neil Diamond's birthday today. Neil Diamond turning 78 years old, and I believe he has retired from the road.
He has, I think. Is there an illness involved?
There was something like that, Steve. I remember, like, he's just not able to...
Yeah, to sing.
To do it at the level he would like to be able to do it at.
One of the great songwriters.
Oh, my God.
Great performers. He wrote for so many people.
Yeah.
Man, when he needed to deliver, like, a rock song, he could do that. The stuff he did with Robbie Robertson and the band, you know, and the Beautiful Noise album, one of my favorites.
And what a just a great voice. I mean, not only his ability to write songs, which is an incredible talent, but he's just got one of those voices that you can't help but love. You know?
He has a song that I hate and love at the same time, that E.T. song.
Heartlight. Turn on your heartlight?
Yeah. Turn on your heartlight.
But he's written a lot of iconic songs that still stand today. So a big happy birthday to the one and only Mr. Neil Diamond. Turning 78 years old.
I don't think it'd be the Monkees would not have had their success without his songs.
Daydream Believer was his, right?
Yeah, I believe
Last Train to Clarksville.
I think so as well.
Huge hits from those guys. I'm pretty certain. All right, we'll see if we can find an answer to this question. What is the first arcade game for Atari? What was the first arcade game for Atari? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to... Let's go to Craig. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Sorry to bother you at work.
All good, sir. What is that first title from Atari?
I believe it was Pong.
It was indeed Pong. Hang on a second.
Still love that game.
It's fun.
Yeah.
In its simplicity. And we are going to set you up, my man. Hang on, Craig, because we are going to give you a pair of tickets for Major League Wrestling. Expect the unexpected as Major League Wrestling presents a live BN Sports Televised Network special February 2nd at the 2300 Arena off 95 in South Philadelphia. Visit MLWGO.com for tickets and information. The second game I remember was Breakout. And I don't know if that was Atari or not, but Steve Jobs, I think, helped create that.
He very well might have, yeah.
Pretty sure he was, like, two people put that together, and he was one of them.
You know what I love? I love the retro table consoles for Pong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those were great. And I remember when I got my first Atari, sweet God, it was the greatest thing on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, I was obviously a little bit later to the Atari game because a titch younger. But the game that came with the system was called Combat, and it was just a series of Pong-like games.
Yeah, but fun. You're always banking shots, basically. Yeah,
I love that stuff.
Yep. Let me see here. I'm just looking up to see if Steve Jobs did that or not.
I know he created Apple, Preston.
Yes, he did do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Influenced by 1972 Atari game Pong and built by Steve Wozniak and aided by Steve Jobs. Yeah,
there you go.
So sure enough. So anyhow, let's move on and get in some of the entertainment stories that I have for you this morning. We're going to begin on kind of the heavy side of things. The day after Bohemian Rhapsody got nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars, more allegations emerged against director Bryan Singer. And some of the accusers claim that he molested them, while others say he actually raped them. Victims claim that they were left psychologically damaged and with substance abuse problems.
I read an extensive article. I sent it to you guys as well.
It was in The Atlantic.
It's not good.
Several men have accused Singer of sexual abuse, provided detailed accounts of their alleged encounters. A guy named Victor Valdovinos claims that Singer abused him on the set of the movie Apt Pupil when he was 13 years old. After telling him to strip and wear a towel, Singer reached through it, grabbed his genitals, and started to, you know, manipulate. And apparently he says he, quote, rubbed his front part on him. Another anonymous accuser named Andy says that he had sex with Singer when he was 15 and Singer was in his 30s. He claims the star of Apt Pupil, Brad Renfro, 15 at the time, was also there.
Who went on to kill himself, right?
Well, he had a drug overdose
and
when he was 25. Excuse me. Another accuser called Ben in the piece describes Singer as predatory and says that he would ply people with alcohol and drugs and then have sex with them. Singer has denied the allegations. After the article's publication, he issued a statement through his lawyer, Andrew Brettler. And the statement reads, "The last time I posted about this subject, Esquire magazine was preparing to publish an article written by a homophobic journalist who has a bizarre obsession with me dating back to 1997. After careful fact-checking and in consideration of the lack of credible sources, Esquire chose not to publish this piece of vendetta journalism. That didn't stop this writer from selling it to The Atlantic. It's sad that The Atlantic would stoop this low to this low standard of journalistic integrity. Again, I am forced to reiterate that this story rehashes claims from bogus lawsuits filed by disreputable cast of individuals willing to lie for money or attention. And it is no surprise that with Bohemian Rhapsody being an award-winning hit, this homophobic smear piece has been conveniently timed to take advantage of its success." So he is flat out denying it.
Yeah, it has been out for a while. So, you know, I didn't realize it was the same piece that was killed that was going to appear in the Inquirer.
Yep. So Singer directed most of the film Bohemian Rhapsody. But he was fired less than 3 weeks before it wrapped up, so he'd pretty much done the whole thing.
Yeah, there's what was left? Yeah. Dialogue looping?
After reported absences on set and several altercations with the film star Rami Malek, he received credit for the film but has not appeared at any of the season's award shows. And though Singer did celebrate his wins on social media, notably, though, Rami Malek did not mention Singer in his speech after winning the Golden Globe for Best Actor. Malek told the L.A. Times on Tuesday that he wasn't aware of the allegations against Singer when they started filming together. So
Well, I know the movie is really good, and I think what in this case so much of what propels the greatness of the movie is the cast.
Yeah, and you know what? You want to play a little bit of that audio, Steve, that you sent over to me this morning.
Did you grab it? Because I just sent the video. Okay,
I had Marissa grab it. So in the movie, there are scenes, if you haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody yet, where, say, Freddie Mercury is just sitting at a piano and, he's working on songs and he's singing. And you say to yourself while you're watching the movie,
how'd they get that?
Did they get that audio?
Yeah.
Were these clean studio outtakes or something like that? Because it's stuff you've never heard before. Some of these parts in that movie were done by a guy named Mark Martell. And he was actually in a Queen tribute project that was set up by Roger Taylor from Queen.
Well, then it's authentic.
Yeah, it's the real deal. In fact, he toured with this group from 2011 to 2015. It was called the Queen Extravaganza. And he's a like a Christian musician out of Nashville. But Steve has this sent over this video of him singing a little bit of, hang on a second, voice. Is this?
Does he do all of the songs?
No.
Just parts. They're just segments.
When he's sort of sitting, and he's sitting sort of tinkling at the piano periodically, or, you know, he does a little singing in the parking lot. You remember that scene where he talks to the band?
Mm-hmm.
And like, where did they get that?
Yeah.
And here's how they got it.
So it's him playing guitar and singing. He's on a rooftop. Listen to this.
Time after time, I've done my sentence. committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few.
Right here really starts to sound like him.
I've had my shafts and kicked in my face, but I've come through.
Yeah, that's spot on, right?
That's it, yeah.
On and on and on. We are the champions, my friend.
A concert with that dude.
That's just
that's fantastic.
And who is this guy? I'm sorry.
His name is Mark Martel.
Wow.
And he's just a young guy, and he's a solo musician, and he can nail that sound.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So he did some of the small parts, and he even facially just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Looks
yeah,
a little bit like Freddie Mercury.
Got a big
Mercury,
set of choppers.
It's the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty cool, man.
They went over the top with the teeth, right? In that movie.
No.
His teeth were that big.
Yeah.
They did. They were that bad.
They're bad.
If you see him, kind of an old Freddie Mercury. Yeah. He's always.
All right. Yeah,
what's that? He could eat
a corn on the cob to a picket fence.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, this guy might be worth getting on to talk to.
I would love to. Like yeah.
So, anyhow, we're going to move on. Some more news on the heavier side of things. But Harvey Weinstein, both the, you know, heavy.
Just an awesome guy. You know,
well, he's heavy. He's large, heavy, weight wise, and a heavy story, too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's recruited a new stable of lawyers, but listen to this. One of them actually represented one of his most prominent decreers, Rose McGowan.
So he hired Rose McGowan's lawyer?
Yes.
Holy F. What a world.
Jose, so this is according to Page Six. So you have Jose Baez, Ron Sullivan, and Pam McKay that will be hired to replace Ben Braffman, who has opted out of representing the disgraced mogul. McGowan reacted to the news that her lawyer joined his team with fury. She wrote, "This is a major conflict of interest, but I knew there was shadiness going on behind the scenes. This is why my case didn't go to trial. My instinct was my lawyers had been bought off," she added. "I thought Harvey would get to them behind the scenes and I wouldn't have fair representation." She pleaded no contest to a drug charge, though she argued in court papers that the drugs were planted to discredit her. Wow.
She needs to leave that area. She needs to hire folks from like Pond the Hockey.
So, yeah, Pond Lee Hockey. Baez and Sullivan helped get former, and here's the background of some of the lawyers. Baez and Sullivan helped get former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez acquitted in his 2017 double murder trial. Baez will also
help. He
didn't
get acquitted, though. He did jail time.
And maybe he was acquitted in the first trial or something. He ended up killing himself.
He did, yes.
In prison.
I don't know what the story is. It says acquitted, but, you know.
Maybe there's more than one trial.
There might have been. It was a double murder trial, so maybe he got off
double
on one
murder.
Of them.
Double murder.
Oh, boy. Baez also got helped get Casey Anthony off in 2011 after being accusing of murdering her two-year-old. Mackey represented Los Angeles Lakers legend Kobe Bryant in his 2013 rape trial.
So this guy's a fixer.
These are all big, high-profile lawyers. Weinstein is set to go on trial May 7th on charges he forcibly performed oral sex on a production assistant in 2006 and raped another woman in 2013. Wow. Right, other legal stuff. Alec Baldwin pleaded guilty Wednesday to second-degree harassment and agreed to attend an anger management program following his November arrest over a disputed parking space.
That's going to work.
All other charges, including misdemeanor attempted assault and harassment against the star, were dropped.
I would love to know if anger management actually works.
I assume, from what I've heard, I know somebody who actually went through it, a friend of mine. And he has to approach it the same way, Casey, someone who completes AA.
Yeah,
it's like the Hulk says in the first Avengers movie, "I'm always angry."
Right.
So it's how you handle it.
There's just a compulsion angle to anger that I don't think it lends itself to something like an alcohol or drug problem. You know what I mean? Like
I know what you're saying.
People have completed it.
Because you got to go somewhere to get your alcohol or your drugs. You know?
My friend says it has helped him mitigate his anger.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to kind of have a bit of an aha moment. And now, it may happen in anger management.
Do you have to see them in concert, or are you just seeing
not
one
the,
of the...
Not the 80s band.
Oh.
So it, here comes the music.
We don't have it.
We don't?
No.
Anyway, I think it
is. I'm going to kill you.
It's got to be.
Take on me.
Wouldn't that calm you down?
That would calm you
down. Take me.
It's a pleasant
Everyone
song.
Everyone sings along.
Yeah.
I'll be
That so might actually piss me off. No, you have to have a moment of clarity. I actually had, now I don't think I'm a raging, you know,
anger junkie,
anger monster, but everybody has their moments. But over actually the first week of this year, I had a moment of clarity.
Yes.
And I have been so much happier ever since.
I think I saw you going through a phase that I went through. And I think it's a natural thing when you hit certain years in your life.
Maybe.
And I was the same way. And yeah. I think it's a natural thing that you come out of, you know?
I finally saw it the beginning of this year as pretty much just wasted energy.
Yes.
I'm like, why?
What do you gain? What do you gain by it?
I asked the question myself, why are you so mad?
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of times when I was answering the question to myself, I was the root of the problem.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, you're mad because you're jealous of that individual because of they got this and you didn't. It may be something that simple. I'm like, and that's stupid.
Wow. What an aha moment for you, man.
I am bearing my soul to you people right now.
And all you do is you push back. I'm going to kill you.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to kill you.
Strangle you little pipsqueak.
That bottle of whiskey called anger is right there. You don't have to go anywhere for it. It's in you.
Wait, Preston, look at your copy. There's a hand sticking through it.
There is a thing called...
Yeah.
There is a thing called the Serenity Prayer, which if you can remember... At the time that it is most needed to recite it, and you may have to say it over and over and over and over again, it works.
It does.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And if
that doesn't work for me.
But the thing.
But it might work for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the problem is remembering to use it.
I just wanted to.
It's remembering
it back.
To use it.
Back at you. Trying to bear my soul, and you trivialize the moment.
It could have been worse. You could have said, "I needed to have a men at work moment."
Yeah,
you like men at work.
Yeah. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Anyhow, Alec Baldwin's going to anger management. David, I appreciate that you're on the phone lines. You want
but
to tell?
Hang up. Hang up.
You're going to tell us about anger management, but I got some stories to get to, and maybe we'll come back to it. I appreciate the call.
Santa's got to go.
Anyhow.
Santa's got to go!
So he pleaded guilty. The prosecutor, Ryan Lippes, said the 60-year-old will pay a $120 fine. He said, "We have had an opportunity to review video surveillance in this case, speak to the witnesses, review the medical records, and speak to the victim. Given that Mr. Baldwin does not have a criminal record, we are prepared to offer a harassment violation in the second degree with the condition that he completes the short anger management program. His next court date is March 22nd, at which point he is required to have completed his anger management classes, and he'll have to talk to the judge then.
There's so much I disagree with Alec Baldwin about, and so much I dislike about Alec Baldwin, yet I think if we were to hang out, we'd probably get along really well, you know? Like, he has some good, like, when I think he's just, like, the same thing, the same reason I think Steve Martin likes him so much, I think I would like that as well. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, and the anger part of Alec Baldwin is totally a turn-off.
Yes.
But you know what is a turn-on is Comedians in Cars with Coffee.
I knew you were going to say that. I love that episode.
Because he's really likable, and I think he's done, too. And, Steve, they spent a lot of time on places that you would know on Long Island.
Yes.
And they talk about the reverence for comedy, which obviously you appreciate. So there is very likable parts of Alec Baldwin. You just don't want him punching paparazzi.
You just
want
to kill him!
He needs an aha moment.
All right. Let's reel it back a little bit. How about this? If Hollywood is a bust for Jonah Hill, he can always turned to a career in photography. The two-time Oscar nominee shared his love of the art on Instagram. He said, I decided to start sharing some photos with you all. I hope you enjoy. If not, that's cool, too. And he published a series of black and white photos, plus some shots of Kim Kardashian and Lucas Hedges. Oh, and also 2 Chainz, Steve.
2 Chainz!
I guess Jonah Hill.
I don't know. 2 Chainz is kind of...
Are you over him?
Well, from him I moved on to Lil Tay, and now I'm Lil Zahn.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, he'll always have a special place in my heart. But
I understand.
He kind of broke ranks with me when he added a third chain.
Does he have a third chain?
He did. And then there's been times he's been out with a mono chain.
That's not
well,
right.
And change your name. I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to wear 3 Chainz.
You came up, then you're 3 Chainz.
Mm-hmm. 3 Chainz. Yeah.
And or Trey Chainz.
You could change Trey Chainz. I like that. Trip Chainz.
Trip Chainz.
Kendra Wilkinson, moving on with Bachelorette's Brad Chad. Bad Chad Johnson. That's his nickname, not Brad Chad.
Bad Chad. Chad made poo-poo in corner. Bad Chad.
Wait, what is that in the corner?
Bad Chad made poops. Bad Chad.
Bad Chad Johnson, according to TMZ. Hugh Hefner's famous ex and Johnson were spotted leaving Rocco's Tavern in L.A. Monday. They were hand-in-hand and looking cozy.
Betcha.
Wilkinson is reportedly having a tough time finalizing her divorce from Hank Basket. The court rejected their papers this month due to an error, the second time they failed to get a judge's approval, by the way.
You know, it's funny because I look back at, so she was at one of the, she was at sort of at the beginning of the Girls Next Door, the quasi-reality show, the scripted, sculpted reality show stuff.
Yeah.
And then she had her own series that would never seem to end with Hank Basket.
Yeah.
And it's just...
She married the wrong NFL receiver.
Right. Nothing as depressing as an old reality star.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That sounded delicious.
I love that
delicious.
Aha music.
Sometimes I look for a window to take a sip of coffee, and every now and then you guys wrap up quicker than I anticipate.
I have hummus over here. I've been looking at for a half hour.
Keep an eye on it. Tariq El Moussa.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name, Case?
I guess so.
From HGTV?
Yeah.
His ex-wife is super hot.
Oh, stunning. Yeah. What was their show? Flip or Flop?
No, they are... not Fix or Flop.
Queef or Cough.
Queef or Cough. Yeah, it is Flip or Flop. It is Flip or Flop. Yeah.
What are you supposed to guess between the two? Was that a queef or a cough?
A queef?
No, it's a cough. Bob, that was definitely a queef.
No.
Gotcha.
There's a... How could you mistake the two?
Trust me. Case.
Well, they made a whole show about it.
It was a, right. joke.
Yeah.
So.
That was mine.
So.
You mother. Wait, I feel a lot better.
I want to kill you.
It's going to be one of those days.
Yeah.
But which
yeah.
show was it? Seriously?
It is Flip or Flop.
Okay.
So.
But they had a separation and a divorce ultimately.
But they still do the show together.
They still do the show together.
Okay. Tarek is going to bring aspiring real estate flippers under his wing on the new series. The untitled pilot is currently in production and features El Moussa teaching novices how to flip properties. They said from start to finish, I'm giving these first-time flippers everything they need to score a profitable deal and not a bank-breaking flop.
To flip a door properly, you have to grab, to flip a house, you got to grab it by the front door and then kneel down forward, right?
Yeah, yep. You really got to use all of, like,
your core.
Your core and your legs. Don't use your back.
I've known a couple of people who did the house flipping thing.
Yeah.
And got their financial clocks cleaned.
Yeah,
you've got to be so committed to it, and yep. It is a really intense to make money.
You got
to
do the right property, yeah. too. So, you know, don't flip in an area that you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, just because I'll be able to make bank on this one. And you end up buying in a terrible area that's not, whatever. I don't need to get into this, but these guys are really good at it.
So his show, his solo show will premiere this year. And meanwhile, his ex, Christina, will be getting her own show called Christina on the Coast. And I don't know when that, it was announced in June of last year. I'm not sure when that's going to
air. Well, I'll watch Christina on the Coast then. Yeah.
Well, you should. There's the Chicago Flip show now that's new, and the host and, I guess, foreman of it all. I don't know what her name is, but I think you guys would dig her a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Pete Davidson is mourning his good friend Kevin Burnett's death at the age of 32. We were just talking about that yesterday, how tragic that was. We still don't know why or how he died. The SNL funny man did a comedy show at Caroline's on Broadway in New York on Tuesday night and told the crowd that he was devastated and that he was in a weird mood. He said, my head hurts. How long have I been up here? Sorry, my brain is mush. Well, I probably would not do a comedy show the day after your friend dies.
No, yeah, especially in the state he's been in.
That's tough to pull off, so...
Is this the same guy that we were talking about?
Yes.
Yesterday.
Is it African-American guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did I think it was somebody else?
No, it was him.
Okay.
All right.
And we don't know how he died.
He was on vacation or on a trip.
Yeah.
And, he died. Okay. Yeah.
In May, TBS announced that Conan O'Brien's Late Show would be transformed into a less traditional 30-minute format when it returned, and the retooled Conan made its bow on Tuesday night with a revamped set and the classic three-celeb interview format out the window. Tom Hanks was the solo guest, and I didn't see it, so I don't know how it felt or appeared. It now airs 11 to 11:30 Monday through Thursday.
TBS wanted to be able to start something at 11:30.
Okay.
What they made the offer to him to do this, but with the offer came this promise, and they have stuck to it. He's now going to be traveling around the world doing stuff that he loves to do, which is go to these various places and do these features with people and on the man on the street, you know, stuff, which he's really good at. And so he'll be more of a roving sort of correspondent.
Okay.
So
throughout the show.
It's a shorter show with one guest.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, and then one last thing. I thought this was interesting. Netflix has joined the Motion Picture Association of America. So when you watch a movie, it's the last thing on the credits that you'll see. The MPAA, you would recognize the logo if you saw it. The MPAA currently has 6 studios as members and raked in $38 million in membership dues in 2017.
We need the dues.
But after news broke that 20th Century Fox was merging with Disney, Netflix had the opportunity to join. Ted Sarandos, chief content officer for Netflix, said, "Joining the Motion Picture Association further exemplifies our commitment to ensuring the vibrancy of these creative industries and the many talented people who work in them all over the world." Netflix received its first Best Picture Oscar nomination Tuesday with Roma. So, I mean, it's a movie studio now, man.
Well, yes.
You know?
It is.
Isn't that wild?
That was their first, though? I thought, like, what about The Beast of No Nation? That was a Netflix movie. That was nominated a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
I forget what distinguishes Roma in the whole thing. But
Says Netflix received its first Best Picture Oscar nomination.
Okay,
maybe that one wasn't up for Best Picture.
Yeah, maybe it was just like a SAG Award or something like that, because that had been making the rounds and stuff like that, but...
How wild is that? That has turned into a movie studio.
Well, you look at Amazon. You know, Amazon, I think, you know, won. Didn't they win for Manchester by the Sea?
Oh, I don't know.
A few years ago?
But it's interesting. I mean, that just, you know, it's all a bit confusing with the amount of content that's out there, but that means there's more content and chance for more great movies.
There are things that are gained and things that are traded off. Yeah. Which, and we were talking about this the other day. I forget who we had in. Maybe it was Gilbert Gottfried. That sense of... community when everyone would react to something.
Yeah,
like we had a taste of it with Bird Box.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like we had all seen the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, this was on last night. You saw it, right? You know,
yeah.
And there's not as much of that anymore, unfortunately. All right, we're ready for clips. The Other Two follows an aspiring actor and his sister, a former dancer, as they contemplate their feelings about their 13-year-old brother's sudden rise to fame. In this clip, Helene York... I think it's Helene, talks about the ease of playing her character. Here we go.
As we went on with shooting, the writing and the characters became more and more in line with exactly who we are, which is such a pleasure to be working with writers that you feel like are tailoring something directly to you and exactly how you sound. And so even saying words sometimes felt improvisational just because the writing is truly so good.
I don't think I want to see it.
It's one of my favorite go-tos.
I love that. The Other Two premieres tonight on Comedy Central. Let's go to the next clip. Fisherman Baker Dill's mysterious past comes back to haunt him in Serenity when his ex-wife tracks him down with a desperate plea for him to kill her new husband.
Kill her.
In this clip, Matthew McConaughey discusses his character's motivation.
The hunt for... Baker Dill, it's to do it for his son. For 10 years, he's been trying to catch this fish because it's going to make his son happy. That's the father figure that I am to my son. That's the hero that I am to my son. So it is an absolute obsession, and I have not pulled it off yet. When you meet me in the film.
I don't think I want to see it.
Could there be a more S Whistler than Matthew McConaughey?
President Obama used to do this.
Yes. Yeah, he's a, you are correct.
Have you seen, on a totally different rail here, have you seen the final, the trailer for that Mr. Plow movie with Liam Neeson?
Mr. Plow.
Well, you know what it is. He's a plow. Yeah. He's a snowplow driver.
My son's not a druggie.
Right, but it's basically Taken. Yeah. It's a revenge movie, and he's a snowplow driver.
Didn't they do that with him on a train, too,
They've
recently?
They've done it a couple times. And on a plane,
yeah.
on a Segway.
He's going to be a...
This device will go anywhere.
Oh, that's right. I remember you...
Yeah.
I remember when the concept of this first came out, you did the Mr. Plow.
That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. I have a specific set of apparatus that are joined to my truck and allow me to displace the snow in a way that makes driving more acceptable. Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
What's the name of this movie?
Old Pursuit.
Oh, shut up.
That's right.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's cold.
Oh,
and they're
no.
in a pursuit.
Yeah, well.
What do you think about most when you think about snowplow drivers? Cold Pursuit.
Yeah. Well, Liam's doing a money grab, whatever, man. Let him have it, you know?
The word was, as you remember, a while ago, right, about six pictures ago, that he was going to hang this up.
Yep,
and here he is, snow plowing down villains.
I'm probably going to love it, though.
I will. Yeah. But if you get a pile of scripts on your agent's desk, man, with a big seven-figure, you know, why not?
I wanted to call you about this monorail film.
Steve, look at this actual poster from the movie. It's got a Cadillac impaled by a tree somewhere. I'm not making this up.
It's a standing tree that's dead. It doesn't have any leaves on it, and the Cadillac is speared on it as if it were an olive.
Right above the road,
Bloody Mary,
an exit sign. So that probably. Is a scene in the movie where the car goes flying off of the exit? I don't know.
Mr. Smithers, after I plow out your driveway, I'm going to have to go take care of some business.
All right. Anyhow, there you go. That's your entertainment report this morning. We are going to have stopping by the studio. Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, is going to be here in our studio along with actor Aldous Hodge. They are promoting the film What Men Want. They're going to be here around 9 o'clock. Very much looking forward to that.
Yes.
We also have a chance for you to win $1,000. Go fund yourself. That's coming up around 8 o'clock, so don't miss that. And if you are a fan of the band Phish, we have got some three-day lawn passes for their run at BB&T Pavilion in June. Text the word Phish, P-H-I-S-H, to 39333. We're doing a secret text word with that, so we'll ask you to call in later on with that secret text word. Got some other things I got to get to detail-wise as far as giveaways this morning. Maybe we'll get to those when we come back. We'll return shortly. Stay with us on this Thursday morning.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
I'm going to hit a few different things here that I need to bring you up to speed on. Number one, we got the GoFundYourself coming up around 8 o'clock. We have an appearance today. Marissa is going to be in Suburban Station at Milk House from 1 to 3. You want to stop by and see her. She'll have some calendar girls there. Ariella and Alexa will be there. And they'll be handing out free Preston and Steve calendars, some soft pretzels, and the newly designed issue of Philadelphia Weekly. That's today from 1 to 3. Tomorrow, I'll be at the grand reopening of Acme in Roxborough from noon to 2. And we have this MMRBQ VIP experience. You can come by and have a chance to win the big game watch package with an Acme gift card and a TV and MMRBQ tickets and all that stuff. And it's my birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they're having a special little thingy for me.
So it sounds really cool. So you can come by and celebrate Preston's birthday with him.
So please, and a chance to win something cool. And then we have this special thing for restaurants. We do these events called Meet and Eats, and restaurants come in. They make some food for us and our guests, and then we promote their restaurant throughout the course of the morning show. Well, it's an advertising package that costs money, but we are going to give one of those away for free to a restaurant who is interested. If you would like to do this, the deadline is tomorrow at 11 a.m., so you need to get on it right away. Click contest at WMMR.com. Look for the Meet and Eat Getaway. enter. Now, you have to be able to come by Thursday to cater our morning show. Should be able to have food prepared for 20 people by 7:30 a.m. It's a lot of information, but I wanted to push that along to you. We'll promote your restaurant and the food that you brought in throughout the morning. So keep that in mind. Go to the website, look, click on contest, and look for Meet and Eat.
A lot of restaurants contact us, and the schedule fills in, and sometimes we can't accommodate, so we're looking to do something reciprocally and give a restaurant that might not otherwise have the chance to do it, the chance to do it.
And one more thing, and then I'll shut up about all this stuff. We have a secret text word today. It's a chance to see Fish. 3-day lawn passes to see them at BB&T Pavilion June 28th to the 30th. So text word secret. I'm sorry, not secret.
Yeah.
Text word fish, P-H-I-S-H, to 39333. And you might win a little bit later.
That's a lot of stuff. We give away a lot of stuff.
I wanted to get all of that out of the way. I saw an article that I thought was interesting and might bring up some stories. And maybe you've fallen into this trap before. And Kathy, I'll specify you because it's mainly this article is about women. That they talk about these things called HLMs, which are multi-level marketing schemes. To give you an example, these companies that have you get on board to sell their products.
Right.
And not only do you have to sell their products, you have to try to recruit other people to get on board to sell their products.
Like a Mary Kay?
Mary Kay, I guess. Amway, you know.
Fuller Brush.
Yeah, things like that.
I mean, they have so many of them now. There's like makeup, then there's like a lipstick specific one where you're just selling lipstick. There's skincare. Right. There's leggings.
Jewelry. Yeah. So apparently this article points out what you may not consider is the fact that it can kill some relationships.
Yeah,
I believe it. So they cite as an example this one woman, Jamie Branson. She had just moved to Toledo, and an old high school friend reached out on Facebook.
Hi.
And asked to meet for breakfast so they could catch up. So she does. Yeah. You know, she's from elsewhere. This woman sees on Facebook she'd moved into her general area. They went to high school together. Hey, let's meet up. This woman, Jamie, said she was so interested in meeting up that she agreed to meet up halfway between our two cities, which is about an hour's drive for each of us. And she said halfway through the brunch, the other woman revealed that she was less focused on friendship and more focused on recruiting her to sell skincare products. She said it was nothing but a marketing ploy for Arbonne, I guess is the name of the company.
Arbonne?
No, A-R-B-O-N-N-E, oh, okay. Arbonne. She said she had zero interest in what was going on in my life and had no intention of forming or reconnecting a friendship.
That would piss me the hell off.
Yeah, and she said, needless to say, we haven't talked since then. I guess there are cases where it's in families as well.
Yeah.
That it can kill the relationship because people keep pushing this product on them and expect you to support them in their efforts.
It can strain relationships, and I've seen it happen periodically over the years, but the Facebook tool, that concept,
yes,
of a hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. So you kind of have a database of people that you might consider slightly easier touches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and have you ever, I mean, has Rochelle ever gotten invited to these things?
Rochelle did a couple of them. And
she did jewelry for a little while.
Yeah, she did. She did Mary Kay years and years and years ago. And tried to get it going, but listen, it happens for them, and
yeah,
some it does not. And then she did a jewelry thing for a while, and then that company went out of business.
Yeah.
So we got stuck
with all the jewelry. I know.
You have to pre-buy it, don't you? Don't you have to pre-purchase a certain amount?
I think in some cases
you can. Yeah. You can purchase like packages so that when you go to, because it used to be where you would actually have to have a party at someone's house and you would want to take samples so people could buy them, and then you took orders and it was shipped. Now it's easier because people can just do it online. A lot of people will have sales on Facebook, and they'll do a sale, but it'll end, you know, Friday at noon. So it's like you invite all of your Facebook friends, and then they can purchase by a certain time to kind of give it like a deadline and not leave it open-ended.
So, all right, so the parties, that's not the same. That's not as bad, right? So you're having like a Pampered Chef party.
The same thing.
A jockey party. It's the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay, why did that seem less intrusive than what press is talking about now?
Well, that's
because at those parties, you would sell the products, and then they would also say, if you're interested in becoming a sale, like, let me know. And, you know, I get a little percentage of it, but you can make your own money.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So it's part selling the product and part recruiting.
This is a little bit more of a shell game.
Yeah. So, according to a Federal Trade Commission report, less than 1% of MLM, multi-level marketing participants will profit less than 1%.
Those are pretty good odds.
Yeah. Far worse rate than for legitimate small businesses, of which 39% are profitable over the lifetime of the business. MLM makes even gambling look like a safe bet in comparison, according to this report by the FTC.
Yeah. Right. So I don't necessarily, you know, I'm not in the market for Pampered Chef or makeup or skincare. However, I have been pitched energy. Right. So electricity, you know,
you get your electricity?
Well, you're getting your stuff through Pico or whatever it is. Well, you can use this company and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it'll lower your bills and this and that. And so I've gotten that a few different times. And I wanted to know if this is a tactic, because one time has happened to me where a guy called me who thought he meant to call a different Casey in his contacts. Okay. And then he ended up getting me. I thought this was Casey Smith. I'm sorry about that. But by the way, now that I got you on the horn here.
It's a tactic.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, it would have to be.
Has it happened to you, Kat?
It's happened to me.
No, I mean, I get these. I would say I get at least one a week of just, you know, because you have so
Facebook.
Many. Yeah, like you just have people that you are close with and then people that you maybe met a few times that are your friends on Facebook, and somebody's always doing something. Another one is the workout, where they'll be like your life coach and they'll help you along the way, and you can follow their workouts and look at their before and after picture. That's one that I get all the time. But I have like a standard response.
You do.
Because whoever's reaching out to me, there is somebody closer in my life that also sells that same product.
Okay.
So I just say, hey, my sister-in-law sells that. Thanks anyway. Because I'm not going to buy it from, you know, a friend.
You're
going to
keep it in the family.
Yeah.
So that's because I was wondering.
Are you lying about it?
Yeah. No, like my cousin
just
has done.
Lying.
No, my cousin has done the jewelry. My sister-in-law did the Rodan and Fields. Like if you're reaching out to me, there is somebody who I am more closely connected that sells the same crap.
Okay.
Okay. So,
but that could be a good lie too. You could say, hey, my cousin already sells that.
Yeah.
So
I sell it.
Yeah. You know. So, yeah. Hey, I sell it.
And that's the issue. It's happened to my wife. And there are people, she certainly, like, she'll go and she'll purchase things at the parties, but sometimes she's like, I have enough of this now.
And you know what? That's why it died off. A lot of the parties, those jewelry parties, died off because so many people were doing them.
Yeah.
At one point, I can't keep buying jewelry and having another party at my house. You tap out. You reach out to those people when you first start selling it. Great, sure, I'm going to help you out. You can have a party at my house. I'll invite all my friends. We'll buy a few pieces of jewelry. But then, after that, like, that's it. I'm not having a second party for you.
Well, Claire was like saying, you know what? I'll just send you a check for $200. Because I don't need any more.
Yeah. All right. So I have, there's somebody I went to college with who was a dentist, and she left her dental practice. Now, listen, dentists make bank. I mean, dentistry is a total racket. And I'm not even going to say the name of the product.
It's a racket?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They never really do any work.
Dentistry is a total racket. Yeah. But anyway,
I thought he's got a joke.
Casey seriously thinks dentistry is a racket.
No, what I'm saying is, if you are in the market to become a doctor or a dentist, become a dentist. They make money.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
They also have a very high suicide rate.
Racket usually means a scam.
Well, listen, I'm just. You're getting off the topic. God damn it, Preston.
I want to kill you.
Wow. I feel a whole lot better right now.
Casey's having an aha moment. Okay, I'm sorry. Just the word racket threw me off.
It sounds like a scam.
She got into a different scam. And I'm not going to say the name of the product. But she left dentistry to become a salesperson for this thing that you find on, like, Facebook and all that. Like, it's a weight loss thing.
Yeah, but did she leave because she was thinking about becoming a stay-at-home mom and, you know, needed some sort of income? Like, I
don't necessarily think so. I think she was the breadwinner. I think she was making so much money doing this.
Like, I know a lot of
friggin' millionaire.
A lot of my friends will do it, you know, if they decide not to go back to work after having a baby. Like, I need some sort of income, and they'll try it to see if it brings some money in or not.
Yeah. I had years and years and years ago, a listener sent me some sort of snake oil. It was a bottle of something that's supposed to.
It was actually snake oil.
It's supposed to turn your life around.
Yeah.
It'll give you all the energy in the world you need physically, mentally, blah, 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 blah. And I accepted they dropped off like three bottles or something.
Right.
Yeah, sure, I'll try it out. I drank a bottle of it and I'm like, okay, I don't feel any different. I'm, you know, whatever. But they were relentless.
I remember the I remember
would
that company.
Not let, was it like CeraVe or something like that?
I don't know, but I remember that company,
yeah,
yes.
And they would not let up and made me return the bottles that I didn't finish,
didn't finish drinking.
Oh,
a lot of people
God.
Are texting in essential oils, Kathy.
Well, that's like the new one. That's okay. Like the, you know, you're using oils instead of taking medications and things like that, and it can help this and that.
Yeah,
and
I don't buy it. My wife loves that stuff. Whatever.
Yeah.
What was that stuff? That the people drop by that time that was supposed to like blow out your intestines. You drank it.
It tasted terrible.
It was like drinking.
It was like Ultra Flush.
It was like drinking Clorox.
The thing that was supposed to give you a 5-foot bowel movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
It turned out that was a scam too.
That was a scam
supposedly
too.
Supposedly is just stuff that would kind of solidify in your it would gelatize, if that's even a word, in your intestines. And you would poop it out.
Yeah.
And it would be in the shape of your intestines.
Yeah.
And it was really bizarre. People would take pictures of their 5-foot long bowel movements.
I forget the name of that stuff,
but
never again. Both you and I had the guts to try it.
I couldn't. I physically
couldn't.
It was
burning on the way down.
It tasted terrible. Like it was. I was incapable of actually doing it because it tasted so bad, and it. I don't recall the burning, Steve, but I just remember
Preston, it was like drinking flaming Ovaltine.
You know which one, Steve, somebody just texted this in and it reminded me, my dad was involved with this in the 80s, Herbalife.
Yes, so
Herbalife.
Yeah.
So was Herbalife a classic pyramid thing?
I believe so,
It
was sort of like Mary Kay, except, you know.
Bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Ask me about Herbalife.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's still
a big thing, though.
Is it? Okay, because when this happened, this is back when I was in middle school or high school, and my parents' fridge in Paoli, Pennsylvania was stocked with Herbalife stuff, and I remember drinking it one time by accident. I thought it was a pitcher of just like seltzer water or whatever, and I was like,
it was a lot of vitamins, too.
Is that what it is?
It was a lot of pills that you took.
So the last time I was in Disney World, it was an Herbalife convention.
What?
I swear to God. I mean, it was Herbalife all over the place.
At Disney,
and all of those people... They were salespeople.
Yeah.
They won the trip to Disney.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
They
all their expenses paid. All expenses paid.
Oh, so there's got to be some people. I know you said it was only 1%, but like some people have got to be making money off of this.
The people who start the companies.
Yeah.
They're the ones. Who was the one? Mary Kay who drove around in the red?
Pink Cadillac.
Yeah.
By the way, Monavie was the drink.
Monavie.
Okay. Thank you.
But like if people are going on an all-expense-paid trip to Disney...
They're getting something.
They're getting something out of it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm gonna go to some calls here. Let me go to... I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. What's up, buddy?
I have a friend who sells Isagenics, which I think is the biggest scam going right now.
I have an entire pantry
of Isagenics,
full of untouched Isagenic stuff.
What is Isagenics?
My wife bought it.
It's weight loss stuff.
It's weight loss, health, blah, blah, blah. And it's all... You want brand new packages of that stuff? I got it for you.
Well, my friend who is a dentist is a millionaire off of Isagenics.
Really?
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Okay, anyway, go ahead, Mike.
No, I mean, it's just, it's the biggest, you know, they have you take these protein powder shakes and you're only eating anywhere from 8 to 1,000 calories a day. Of course you're going to lose weight.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've lost 15 pounds since Christmas because I've only been eating about 1,100 calories
a
day.
But how much money have you lost? You're paying $100 a month.
Yeah.
So Mike, has this strained your relationship with this friend?
Well, I wouldn't say it's strained. It's awkward because I feel like Bob Seger. You feel like a number.
Yeah. And you're like an easy go-to when he wants to sell some, right?
Well, yeah, you just feel like a number. Like, it's like, come on, man. Are you really concerned about my health or are you concerned about putting money in your pocket?
Now, yeah.
This person does actually pretty well.
Okay.
Their clients are deep, but the thing is, it's a constant turnover. Somebody mentioned the electricity. You can purchase your own electricity as a supplier, which isn't a scam. But if somebody calls you up, it is.
Casey, you were talking about energy? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Interesting. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. But they're saying that these types of things can kill relationships, not just friendships, but family as well, because they keep coming back and pestering and wanting more from you.
And it may not even be in the form of like an explosive fight or something. Yeah. You may just start to shear off because you're like, if I go over there, I'm going to have to hear about this stuff.
Absolutely. We have a friend who all of us have kind of, we've
not blocked her, yeah. but we, however you do it on Facebook, like you ignore
mute.
Them. You, yeah, you
like
mute,
mute
them.
Yeah.
We've muted her. She's messaged all of us about yeah. the product she's selling. We've all responded, no thank you.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's too annoying.
And they're not scams.
No.
I mean, they're not scams. You're just trying to sell me something. You know what? Real friends will try and sell me something at a cheaper rate.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Or like, give it to me as a gift.
Or give it to me as a gift. But like, you know, hey, man, listen, you're a buddy of mine. This usually costs $100. I'm going to give it to you for
50. I'll always help out yeah. friends, and I will purchase things. I do the Girl Scout cookies and all that stuff,
yep.
or whatever. That's absolutely no problem.
Yeah.
But the difference with so many of these things is that you're buying into a long-term commitment.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies are once a year.
Right. It's like every other month,
yep.
you're getting, what is it, Isa, what is it?
Isogenics.
Isogenics.
Mm-hmm. By the way, fun fact, the founder of Herbalife died at the age of 44 after mixing alcohol with toxic levels of antidepressants.
Oh, my goodness.
At his mansion in Malibu.
Jeez.
It's always bad for the product. Like when the author of the Runner's Bible, James Fix, died at what, 44?
You know, what about Atkins, the guy with the Atkins diet?
Now, mind you, it wasn't because he was being healthy.
No, he had a pre-existing condition.
Yeah. But it never helps the message.
No, at least this guy died at his mansion.
Yeah. Yes.
let me go to Chad. Chad, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, man. What's up?
Not too much. So I just wanted to comment on the pyramid scheme thing. So when I was in college, my chemistry professor, this really old guy, Dr. Mass, he impressed the crap out of us on day one when we did our attendance. And at the end of the class, without even looking at any of our attendance sheets, he was able just to kind of go through every single one of our seats and remember our first and last name. Just
okay.
Like, all right. So, and he attributed this to this stuff that he said he drinks. So there's this product that he created he said, as a chemist, it has all of these natural earth metals inside, and he said it has like bits of gold and just different earth metals, and basically says that earth metals are good for your body, it's good for your brain, it's good for just everything in general.
Okay.
And so this class became, it wasn't even a chemistry class, every day just became this like selling point for him where he was trying to push this product onto every single student in his class. So at some point, half of the kids stopped going to his class.
So was he ever reprimanded by the school officials for using a class as a sales room?
No, not that I know of. I mean, we did some stuff in the class, but it was more or less like the first 15 minutes was always just this pitch to us about, you know, hey, buy this stuff if you're interested. Here's, you know, the number, here's my contact info. You know, or if you need a sample, bring this to your family and then and you can have them start to buy it or you can sell it. It was kind of like, you know, one of those just like the things you guys are talking about with just, you know, buying samples.
Sure, sure. It's the same thing. So did he actually market it up and have packages and was he actually trying to recruit you guys to go out and sell this?
So there was one student in particular in this class that was much older than the rest of us, which was kind of, I think that he had this kid in class as like a hype man, because this kid would also like vouch for this professor and say, oh man, yeah, I take this stuff. Like I purchased this from him before. I mean, this stuff's amazing. And he would just talk this product up. I don't even know what the product was. It was just literally this bottle with no label, no nothing. And it was just,
no. You talked about earth metals and things like that. It reminds me of the story, Preston, of the guy. Remember who actually turned blue? He was taking some daily concoction.
Yeah. It had silver in it.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And he turned blue and then he died.
He looked like a Smurf.
Yeah.
It was wild. Well, Chad, what school was that, if you don't mind saying?
At the time, it was a county college, Camden County College. I mean, the guy's probably no longer, he's probably dead. He was old. This was
okay.
Like, yeah, he's dead. Here's looking at the picture of the Smurf guy, Kathy.
Oh, my God.
That's legitimate.
Yeah,
he was taking silver and he turned blue.
Got to be careful. Let me go to, I have Kenny on the phone. Hey, Kenny, good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, bud?
So I know a lot of people have been talking about Herbalife, but I don't think people understand the extent of their scams and scheme hatchery, if you want to call it
that.
In 2011, before I got married, I was way overweight and I was looking for anything I could do to lose it. And I was seeing a lot of ads and things for our local area about a new family-owned nutrition store, an actual storefront. Mm-hmm. And when you walk in, there is literally not a single product on the wall. There is nothing in there. There's just people standing. It was family owned. And my first hint should have been that every single person that worked there was tremendously overweight.
It's not good.
and it's not. And then when you're asking about products to purchase, they try and lean you away from that and just try to recruit you to sell their product. And most of their products are just meal replacement shakes. So you're eating one real meal a day and then just, protein shakes. So naturally you're going to lose weight. But then they have other products that are unbelievable false advertising. They have a vitamin. They say, you take this 30 minutes before you eat, and you can literally eat anything. You can eat McDonald's. Eat burgers,
yeah. And you'll eventually turn blue and die.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Preston, do you remember that for a while the big thing was to sell people on the notion of advertising products through classified ads?
Yeah.
Do you remember like Billy Bob Teeth?
Yeah.
You know, you place classified ads for these products in your local papers, and that was the big sales thing.
Yeah.
It was a scam for a long time. We talked about like house flipping and all that stuff. Now, some people do it, but so many people just bought into it.
Yeah, most definitely. The FTC monitors multi-level marketing companies and cautions that the compensation structure, which incentivizes participants to recruit additional participants, poses a particular risk of injury. They say it's their quote. While the financial risks of getting involved with an MLM are well documented, the personal ones are harder to quantify, but are just as real. They say the pressure to sell and recruit has led to underhanded tactics that strain, fracture, and sometimes end friendships and family relationships. And I can see that because that's how you get started. You have to go to the people you know.
Well,
you're not just going out making cold calls to strangers. You go directly to the people that you're closest to and say, hey, you help me out. I got this thing.
Most of us, you have to have a particular set of skills.
That's
you
right.
know, to be an effective salesperson who can go cold call people and convince them to buy.
Yeah.
So we're all going to naturally default to the people we believe are going to support us.
I watched way back when, it was over 20 years ago, that my wife did Mary Kay, and it came with the informationals. Informative literature and videos to show you how you sell. And their simulated Mary Kay party video was hilarious.
So what was it like?
Oh my God! these people they were actors, obviously, and they were so. It was like Stepford Wives, man. It was very bizarre. And during the quote unquote party video, like one lady shows up like the trouble girl.
They show you how to handle her.
Yeah, and she's like, this isn't really my kind of thing, and blah blah blah. And they show you, well, let's talk about some of the products that might be right for what. And it's just,
hey, girls, let's throw rocks at Debbie.
Let me tell you why I suck as a salesman.
But I'm sure that they all have little tools like that they tell you about.
And you're driving along.
Let me go to one more call because I'm going to go to Leslie. She said they had a relationship that soured. Hi, Leslie. Good morning. Hey, Leslie, you're on the air. And it sounds like we lost her.
Oh, there she is.
Hey, you had a story about your brother?
Yeah, my brother. We were really, really close. And then he started selling vitamins. And I have a disease, multiple sclerosis, who he, was calling me and telling me to stop drinking Diet Coke. And then he started saying, oh, take these vitamins. And he started sending them to me. And then when I didn't take them, it was like, what? You're not taking them? Don't you know that's going to help you and it's going to help me and you can start selling these for me?
Oh, my God. Leslie, well, he became a physician simply by watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, that's you have your condition is a lot more serious. So how long before it destroyed your relationship?
Oh, well, I didn't buy it because it's like, vitamins aren't going to cure your multiple sclerosis.
Right.
If that was true, then none of it would have it. I just laugh because it's like you get these things, you hear these things, and it's like they're so expensive, like collagen, liquid collagen. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
And it's like so. It's like a youth in the bottle, but it's
$75 a bottle, and you need that once a month. Like, so only rich people can have skin that's
healthy. And rich people aren't buying that stuff. So they put you under that idea. And the truth of the matter is, you got to remember, the person who's trying to sell it to you probably has six cases of this crap at home they're looking to unload.
But Leslie, you didn't know your brother had the cure to MS right there, and you ignored it.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. And how dare you? And now you're not going to help me. You're not going to sell it. You're not going to become like our army of, you know, rich people selling to other rich people.
Wow.
I believe the 1%. And, you know, ultimately we're working on a relationship now that was like 20 some years ago. But I just stay away from anybody who's selling anything.
Cause
if it was real, it'd be real, right? It wouldn't be
If it was real, it would be real. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate it. All right. Anyhow. I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, and I've seen little, you know, evidence of that from time to time. People trying, especially with social media and Facebook, and saying, here, I've got this for you. Let's meet up. And it turns out they're just trying to push this on you as opposed to friendships.
Like that AHA management, anger management plan.
Yes. I don't think we have it ready to go.
No.
All right. We need to take a break. And when we come back. No scam.
No.
Chance for you to win $1,000. And that is with MMR's Go Fund Yourself. So that is coming up next. Don't forget, Shaft himself, Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, is going to be here in our studio along with actor Aldous Hodge. The movie What Men Want is going to be opening on February 8th, and they are here to promote. So we're looking forward to meeting those guys. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow.
MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
And this morning is brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. There's something for all of the snow lovers in your family at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. Skiing, snowboarding, or snow tubing, go to JFBB.com and you can save up to 50% on lift tickets. JFBB, where the snow comes first. All right.
Sorry.
Let's get into the stories. We'll begin with this one. Tourist Gerd Ortelheide.
Gerd Ortelheide.
What
a name.
76 years old, a German national, suffered a heart attack while engaging in sexual intercourse with three young Dominican girls.
Whoa.
Paramedics were called into Dr. Knight's Exotic Resort, a well-known sex tourism destination frequented by wealthy men to live out their fantasies.
I have some bad news. Gert is dead.
No, I think he's alive, actually. Oh. So the incident.
Wait, guys, alive!
The incident report indicates Mr. Olderhide, Gerd to his friends, was in the act of sexual intercourse with three Dominican prostitutes who work at Dr. Knight's when he started complaining of chest pains. Upon arrival, paramedics stabilized the patient, rushed him to a local hospital. The Dominican girls were interrogated by local investigators and later released. Medical reports determined he suffered a heart attack. Sildenafil, the erectile dysfunction drug better known as Cialis, was found in his blood.
There you go. It's a blood thinner.
A doctor who helped him out, the doctor who saved him, Dr. Leon, stated, the age of my patient does not prevent him from engaging in this type of vacation. Instead, the right question would be, is Mr. Olderhide in the right physical condition to participate in this type of activity? And the answer is obviously no. The patient was in critical condition on arrival. He said, I quickly diagnosed a myocardial infraction, and then I proceeded to restore blood flow to the heart.
Dude, was tearing it up.
Locate block points, and it took two stents to stabilize Mr. Olderhide, or GERD.
And I would do it again in a second.
So he's okay. A man accused of letting it all hang out in the pillow aisle of Walmart got locked up.
Hey, look at my balls.
Dennis Palmer was jailed on exposure of sexual organs. Charged after the incident, police went to the Walmart in reference to a black male exposing himself in the pillow aisle, according to the affidavit.
You're going to love my pillow.
Palmer was identified as the person evidently doing more than just browsing for bedding. Palmer asked why he was being detained. An officer said that it was because of a report that his penis was exposed.
Well, maybe he was seeing how it felt between his legs. Do you sleep with a pillow between your legs now and then?
Always.
So maybe that was it, Preston. You got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And that he touched himself inappropriately. He said that he was just itching himself because he has crabs.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That's supposed to make you feel better?
Oh, okay.
I think I might have got some on the pillow. Sorry.
When police reviewed the surveillance video, they reported seeing rubbing and activities other than itching, and this continued for several minutes, according to the affidavit. He was taken to the county jail, asked what he was thinking. Palmer told an officer he wasn't thinking, but he should have been thinking.
Then from a cell, he yelled out, "You ever listen to Aha?"
Vets have finally discovered why two love-struck caimans have been unable to produce babies despite 50 years of frequent mating. And the reason is because the male's penis is too small.
Oh, there you go.
Poor guy.
Hector and Louisa have been unable to successfully breed despite being an item for nearly incredible half a century at Poznan Zoo in western Poland. The alligator-like crocodilians have been together since they first arrived at the zoo when they were both small way back in 1973. Now, keepers had long been puzzled why they'd failed to produce offspring despite their clear enthusiasm for each other during an annual breeding season.
He's so small.
Hector has been spotted on top of Louisa every year, and his frantic efforts often turn their pond into foam.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis.
Yet Louisa has never laid fertilized eggs. Eggs were produced several times, but nothing came of it. The staff had no idea what the reason was for the failure. The truth only came to light during the visit of a specialist from doctors from Germany. Hector needed a lot of research and consultation, they said, from a gastrologist because he did not have an appetite. It turned out he was fine. However, the doctor said it was not surprising Hector's efforts were futile because his willy is too small. Hector is always very loud, and hundreds of visitors come to see him moan and groan, they said. It looks as if Hector and Louisa have to console themselves with each other's company as they are unsuitable candidates for IVF treatment.
Let's just watch Netflix.
By the way, for reptiles, the size of a penis is significant when it comes to breeding.
Oh, I would imagine.
And by the way, their love affair is unusual as caimans do not choose partners for life in the wild, but these two have been together for 50 years.
It's a beautiful story.
Isn't it, though? All right, let's see, how about, no, that's kind of a disturbing one.
More genital animals, if you can.
I have an animal one, but not about genitals. But how about this one? Wareham officials, I'm not sure Wareham is, but it's coastal, are asking local residents to not, among other things, feed seals peanut butter and jelly sandwiches after one of the animals was found ashore Monday along with a few sandwiches laying by him. According to the director of the town's Department of Natural Resources, Gary Buckminster, he said, "I'm sure somebody came across it and felt bad for it." While the intent was nice, that they just thought he would love a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on his way down to the coast. He said, "We frowned upon it." He had responded to a report Monday afternoon of a possibly sick or injured seal at Swift's Beach. Upon arriving, he found a group of worried onlookers surrounding a harp seal that had come ashore. Some were planning to fetch blankets to wrap around the animal, given the freezing temperatures.
Yeah.
However, Buckminster said that the seal had no visible injuries and appeared to be in good health.
Just going on the beach.
Fine. Yeah.
Sometimes I used to go down as a kid and feed Pop-Tarts to the jellyfish.
They don't eat Pop-Tarts,
I found out the hard way.
Harp seal cubs typically migrate south from the Canadian shores during the winter, making stops along the East Coast. He said they're just trying to rest. They're laying on the beach.
Leave me alone. Mom, the jellyfish won't eat my Pop-Tart.
Even the most well-meaning humans can stress out seals if they don't give the animals some space.
Peanut butter.
Jelly. All right, so don't feed those. All right, one last story, and then we will end with this. A man has been arrested in a stabbing incident that police say was started by unsatisfactory pants.
How unsatisfactory?
Police have arrested Jared Womack in connection with a stabbing that occurred Tuesday morning. A statement said police believe that Womack stabbed the adult male victim in the back after agreeing to exchange pants with the victim. And then not liking the pants that he had received.
You have to understand, these pants are uncomfortable.
Womack then went to the Eddie Bauer store where he attempted to steal a pair of pants.
Okay.
I don't want to put pressure on you, but I have a knife with me.
Yeah. So
I don't like the way these pleats look.
The victim was...
These are not loose fit.
The victim was transported to the hospital with life-threatening injuries.
Look at this guy. Look at his mugshot.
Yeah, he looks crazy. Womack is currently being held at the county jail, by the way. So it was the pants that did it for him. And there you go. That is what I have for you on in the Bizarre File this morning. Wow, more stuff to give away. Casey just handed me this. I have a chance for you to win some tickets to see our buddy G-Love and Special Sauce are playing the Fillmore Saturday, February 2nd. So a week from this Saturday. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. So that's cool.
I saw G-Love about 3 or 4 years ago. Great show.
He does put on a really fun show. 15th caller gets him, 215-263-WMMR. Get on board right now. Reminder, Marissa today has an appearance, Suburban Station at Milk House. She'll be there from 1 to 3. Stop by, because if you haven't gotten a Totally Office calendar yet, she's going to have them, along with two of our calendar girls. So make sure you stop by, and they'll also be handing out soft pretzels and newly designed issue of Philadelphia Weekly. So Ariel and Alexa will be joining Marissa today from 1 to 3 at Milk House and Suburban Station.
Very nice.
Yep. And then tomorrow, noon to 2, lunchtime, join me for the grand reopening of Acme in Roxborough. And we got a TV and a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to give away. Your chance to win MMRBQ tickets, all that. So that's tomorrow. But Marissa today from 1 to 3 Suburban Station. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Don't forget that Richard Roundtree will be on the program today, along with actor Aldis Hodge. But one last reminder that you have a few more minutes left until about 8:15 to get in that word fun for Go Fund Yourself in our contest. You have to enter the word fun, F-U-N, via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News. The Record Company. Fozzy.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Long hat, curly hair, smiley face.
I haven't heard that in a long time. Wow. Hey, earlier in the entertainment report, we got started on, or we began a conversation because Alec Baldwin has been...
ordered.
He pleaded guilty to, you know, harassment or whatever. Maybe you've gotten a fight over a parking spot and pushed a guy. And so he's been ordered to attend anger management classes. And so Casey was wondering out loud if that indeed works or not.
God damn, yeah!
Anger management. Because your observation is that anger as an emotion is just something that's in you. And you have very little control over when it rears its ugly head and so on. You just kind of see it as that way.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the situation.
And maybe going to, you know, once a week classes for 2 months.
Right.
Ain't going to cure this problem that you've had for a long, long time.
Well, I'll tell you something. Alec Baldwin's been to anger management a couple times before.
Yeah.
But it's not like there have been other things that people go to AA and have to go back and you do that. You know, but you're wondering because it's not like... I'm going to stay away from bars and I'm going to work on myself and blah, 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 blah. It's something you're carrying with you constantly.
Constantly. And you don't know when it's going to rear its ugly head.
Yep.
You know, whether you're...
Or rear its Alec Baldwin head.
Whether you're, I don't know, at a supermarket and somebody, you know, butts in line or is taking forever at the checkout counter or, you know, just something's not going your way or somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, like, perhaps we joke about something that happened to me a couple of... two Christmases ago,
yeah.
Where, I mean, I lost my crap on this woman, and, you know, in hindsight, I wish I would have reacted differently. Now, the woman did try to run me off the road.
Yes,
that's
and
not
was
cool.
Shooting at you.
And she was not shooting at me.
I'll never forget it, because he sent me a text. He goes, I just screamed Merry Christmas C-word out the window.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, the week of Christmas. So you were obviously really, really angry.
Yeah, and listen, I could have taken it further. I could have gotten out of my car and, you know, something along those lines. And I didn't, but still, even that reaction alone, I was like, you're better than that.
By the way, before we continue the conversation, if you have been in anger management and want to share pros, cons, worked, didn't, whatever, 215-263-WMMR.
And as I brought up earlier, a friend of mine, actually a comedian friend of mine, did anger management, and it has helped him immeasurably.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the same way that someone carries their alcoholism with them, That's the way he looks at it. And so he deals with it on a daily basis. But there are certain things, like you said, the Serenity Prayers, iterations of that, that bring him peace. Preston, you were very candid earlier. You went through a phase that I went through. I think about the time you were going through it, where I'm like, why am I getting so mad? I have and all that's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then it's a self-loathing loop, because then you feel like such an ass because you have so much in life. And you're like, why am I being this way?
Part of it was me, and I had this moment of clarity.
What kind would you call it if you were liking it to an 80s band? What would you call it?
An 80s? It was an aha moment. Yeah, to be honest.
Yes,
no, but... Jesus Christ. No, but I realized that as soon as that emotion starts to rear its head, I have to have the wherewithal and the clarity to be able to say, why are you getting mad right now?
Yes.
And are you getting mad for a good reason or not? And I started to do that, and I realized that I was getting mad a lot for not a legitimate reason. And like I said earlier, a lot of it was my own fault, and I didn't realize it until I asked myself that question. Why are you really getting mad right now? Why is that? And a lot of times, like I said, it was because, just to give an example, I would say to myself, well, you're just jealous that person has got it better than you or whatever. Now you're getting
mad. Has a handlebar mustache.
You know, and you can't grow one. I can't think of it as specific examples, but it was enough to make me go, yeah. And getting mad is just it's a waste of my energy.
It's your ability to make an editorial decision at the moment. Like the guy, you had the story earlier in the news of the road rage incident. You know, and I think about this in life. Once you step over that precipice, that dumb decision to freak out, to go nuts, and I've had a number of them in my life that could have ended horrifically. And we've talked about this many times on the show, but if it helps people avoid those things, once you tip fully, you can't come back.
Yeah.
This guy got shot, but it was not his. We think it was not his fault. In the road rage thing, he was shot by some lunatic.
He shouldn't have got shot.
Made a bad call.
Yeah. The hardest part about it is being able to stop and say, "Why are you getting mad?"
Yeah,
and if you can get yourself to do that, you got a chance.
See,
I'm not a doctor.
What else can you do but say, why am I getting mad?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to deal with control and not having control over something, right? And I'm not talking about a person.
And that was an 80s Janet Jackson song, wasn't it?
Control.
Yeah. Most of our rage comes from 80s music. No,
but not being able to not having control over a certain situation, right?
Yeah.
And again, we mentioned the Serenity Prayer, you know, accept the things that cannot change, you know, and so that is just kind of releasing the fact that, like, okay, I can't control this. The only thing I can control right now is my reaction to whatever's going on right now.
It's also giving yourself permission to feel. I find the most horrific part of that whole thing is the beating yourself up for feeling that way. If you can give yourself permission that everyone goes through it now and then and they have that anger, that helps bring it down. It's just everyone. It's almost. I realize that every time I do something like that, it's a very egocentric, narcissistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I must be the only. Why me?
There's even a reminder that I try to tell myself, too, is, okay, so the reason you're starting to get, you're tensing up and you're building, that's because you're releasing certain hormones in your body that are making this happen.
Yeah.
And I try to say, it's a chemical reaction. That's why you're getting so blah, 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 blah. And you can try to tone it down and maybe breathe a little bit. It's a lot to think about. But
I think about the movie Inside Out and the anger played by Lewis Black and the fire shooting out of his head. You know, that sort of that image goes through my mind. And Steve, talking about, you know, thinking about yourself, the narcissistic feelings on it or whatever. What I try to remind myself of is the impact that my anger will have on other people.
That's a horrible part of it.
And when you see their face, you know, and Preston, like, we've joked around about, like, how you reacted with the socks and your daughter, but when you saw your daughter's face, you felt terrible about it, you know, and I've yelled at my son and I've yelled at my girlfriend and things like that, and I hate myself for that, but I hate how it impacts them.
But later on, you unchained her.
Yeah. I mean, I let her out.
I did. All right, I'm going to go to some calls, people who have gone through anger management or are currently going through anger management. I'll go to Ryan, first of all. Hi, Ryan. Good morning.
Sorry to bother you guys at work.
That's all right,
man. Damn you!
What's up, buddy?
I went through anger management about 6 years ago. It was a good gateway, but I had some, you know, deep inner anger issues that
Once I got angry, it was hard to control, like you said, and then it would lead to rage, which then, you know, and it would come out on people that it shouldn't have come out on.
Yeah.
But it was a good gateway for me to get into other forms of recovery and types of like domestic violence classes. I mean, I went through the ringer, and if you want to learn from it and use the tools, it's a great thing. But if you're going to continue to go around the same people and the same things that you were doing, obviously, every day somebody's going to make you angry, right? You know, it's how you react to that anger, how you control yourself. You can't control anybody else. So when somebody cuts me off, not a big deal. Before, I used to get out at the intersection and we'd be throwing hands.
Well, you said the word tools. So when you start to add more to your mental toolbox, and you can hopefully pull those out and add to them. And you said it was a gateway. It opened you up to other forms of treatment. And has your life been enhanced? How would you say you are these days?
After 6 years of on and off classes, I'm a much better person now.
Okay.
It's noticeable from family members, friends. You know, people notice a difference in me. I'm not the same angry person I always used to be.
Good.
All right,
good.
So my question is this, though. When something happens that you're not expecting, like somebody cutting you off in traffic or whatever.
Or you win the Publisher's Clearinghouse giveaway.
And, no, that's a good thing, Steve. Right. When something bad happens, and I mean, like, your immediate reaction, before you even have a chance to think about it, is rage and anger. How are you able to tap into that toolbox?
You have to just stop yourself. It's an addiction, okay? And it's so quick to just, boom, go right to anger. Where if you can just stop yourself for that 1 second, take a deep breath, think about what you're going to say or do, that's the whole key to what I've learned.
Maybe
that one split second.
Maybe it's in that similar to substance abuse when you start to get that urge.
Yes.
You want to use something, you have to go, okay, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it now, and I need to use the tools that I've been given to divert myself to something else. So I assume that's where it is.
Exactly. And coming from forms of recovery, you know, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sex addiction, there's many different forms. I believe that anger is it's taught, it's learned. I learned at an early age from first grade that if somebody was to hit me, somebody punches me, I punch them back. And that's what my parents taught me. So after 30-some years of hitting people back, it's really hard to break the habit of going straight to anger and just taking a calm approach to the situation.
Well, it's impressive that you've done it, Ryan. That's cool, man. Thanks for sharing the info.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. All right, take care. Wow. Okay, so it sounds like he was really...
heavy duty. Yeah.
I want to go to Allison, who is in anger management therapy right now. Hi, Allison. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
We are good. So how long have you been being treated? How long have you been treated?
Well, I'm not in anger management, but I'm in therapy for it.
Okay.
And it's been about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about the experience.
Well, they actually found, I have a really great therapist, a really great psychiatrist, and they actually found that a lot of my anger was coming from past concussions. So
past concussions?
Yeah. So I had to be treated for concussions and the concussion syndrome, and because of that, my anger has been a lot less, and I get to the point of dissociation and raging and throwing things and punching things.
You know, it's wild, Allison, because we were talking about Aaron Hernandez earlier.
Yeah.
And there was significant medical evidence to suggest that the concussions in his life might have led him on his path.
Yeah, now, CTE, right?
Yeah. So you can't, you know, homicide is homicide, and, you know, and obviously there's evil things that people do, but they said his brain was a mess when they autopsied him.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a wild ride, but I'm really thankful for my therapist and my psychiatrist and
good for you.
How much they've helped me.
I didn't think about that. Thank you, Allison, that physical issues might be the root of your anger. I had no idea. Let's go to a few other calls. I'm going to go to Justin next. We're talking about anger management. Hi, Justin, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So, you know, when I was a teenager, I'm 32 now, I got put in anger management by my parents. You know, their usual runaround, they didn't want to deal with it. High school drama. But, you know, it tend to get me more upset because they want you to talk about things. And at that age, I don't think that you're intelligent enough to realize exactly what's going on with your anger and whatnot.
So, would you say it exacerbated the issue?
Yeah, big time. I mean, you would walk out of there and you'd be thinking about all the things that you just talked about that would already piss you off.
Yeah. Was this in a group?
It was just one guy. You know, huh? Sometimes my mom would come in with me and he would just ask me, you know, what gets you upset? What does this? How do you feel about this? And it was just like he was pressing every button, you know, to get me to be upset. It was almost like counterproductive.
Well, it sounds like you were seeing the wrong therapist. I mean, I don't think age necessarily has to do with whether or not therapy is going to be successful. You know,
over throughout my 20s, I went through a lot of different things. And, you know, I recently have gone to therapy and, you know, they told me basically I have PTSD, you know, from having so many things go on in life and just tucking them in the back and forgetting about them and trying not to, you know, move on from it or grow from it. You know, I had one of my best friends, you know, he got shot in the back of the head while I was shaking his hand.
Oh, my God. All right.
While you were shaking his hand?
Yeah, I was walking up to him to give him a handshake and somebody walked up behind him and, you know, that was it.
You heard us chuckling a little bit, and it wasn't your thing. It was that there's a scene in
Central Intelligence
mm-hmm. where The Rock explains how he deals with it.
Yeah,
just balls it up and pushes it down and
shoves it inside. Yeah.
And it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah. And yeah, you can't do that. And what happens is eventually you're going to explode.
Yeah. So how are you now?
So I'm 32 now. I think now I'm in a much better place just due to two things, you know, intelligence and experience. I think one thing that helps with anger is, you know, if you do have an outburst and you go to jail, you know, you get in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, consequences for your actions.
For some people, for some reason, it doesn't work for others.
That's where I think the intelligence comes in. Because, you know, if you're not smart enough to realize, like, oh, crap, I'm going to end up in jail. I'm not going to get to see my kids. I'm going to lose my job. If you can't evaluate those things, then maybe you need to be put somewhere else, you know,
because that's
the type of people I think that are out here, you know, causing crimes that can't control themselves because they're not smart enough or maybe they haven't received that help.
And then according to Casey, you could end up on the street as a dentist.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Justin. We appreciate it, man. Glad you're doing better. By the way, a texter pointed out, I think you guys should just look to Kathy for inspiration. I mean, she didn't lose she did lose one of her favorite restaurants, and she hasn't killed anybody yet.
Well, as far as we know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it happened last night.
Yeah. So
Redstone caught on fire.
There's a little time for me to get angry. I had somebody suggest that I needed anger management, like in a serious comment, and I'm not kidding you. My response was, are you effing kidding me? Like, I literally freaked out, and I had to, like, stop myself. I'm like, oh, my God. Well, that wasn't the response you should have had.
I think, like, an organic, you know, as I arrived at the conclusion, and then I also had the concept of the watcher, which I've told you guys, you know, me watching myself, you know, to, like always having a friend with me that is basically me saying, is this you?
Yeah.
Is this the person you are?
Steve, there was an old Martin Short character, and I forgot his name, but it would always be like, I'm not being defensive. You're being defensive.
Yeah. Always sweaty with the cigarette. Like 60 minutes. And, I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
You're crazy, right?
It's him, right?
It's him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people can get angry over, you know, a zillion things. For me, I think it's like people. People that...
That give you dream catchers as gifts.
Exactly. That is the worst gift you could give someone, okay? But
what is this book on Zen?
No, there's actually a Philadelphia writer, and I wish I could remember her name, but who wrote it. But she wrote an article one time on people that make you angry. And basically her main point of the article was, don't let someone else determine your mood for the day. And I swear to God, I think that. Every day.
That's the traffic when on in my car. Mm-hmm. That's what did it for me. The one day is somebody really did a dick maneuver on the road, and I carried it with me for hours in the rest of the day. And I'm like, wait a minute, this person who I will never meet again for the rest of my life has ruined my day.
And
I've carried it around.
And they're off probably having a nice lunch. And you're the one who's carrying all this luggage for nothing. It'll change nothing. Yeah. It's a waste.
Yeah. So that's why I always go back. Like, if someone is making me angry, I always think that. And I'm like, you know what? Just because that person's, you know, being a jerk or they're not having a good day, it's not going to make my day bad.
Now, I will admit that I have had a couple of moments post my aha
moment, which was but it wasn't me getting mad at someone else or anything like that. They look, as soon as I played the song, the aha video came up on our monitors here in the studio. But like, so I'm making burgers for dinner, and I pick up one of the hamburgers, which had been, I was using a frozen burger patty, and it had thawed out, and I pick it up, and it broke in half, and half of it fell on the floor. I started mother effing all over the place. And I did a reality check. Why are you mad right now? And I go, that's a pretty good reason to be mad.
Yes.
But that, because it was my fault that I could be mad at me for
own it. Yeah. You own it. Yeah. Give yourself permission to be upset. You were looking forward to that hamburger. Uh-huh. You didn't want half a hamburger.
Exactly. Listen, there's validity to all of your emotions. And that's, you know, another thing that Inside Out kind of teaches you is that, listen, you wouldn't have that anger emotion if you weren't supposed to have it, right? But it's how you act on it. So, yeah, when a half of your burger that you worked so hard on and it looked so delicious fell on the ground.
Yeah.
Yes, be upset, but don't kick the dog over it.
Right, exactly.
Not when you have a cat.
You don't want to turn your anger on to someone else.
They go redirecting
farther. It. Let me go to, I'm curious as, to this call. Mr. S, it says on my screener. Hi, you're on the air, sir.
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas. How you doing?
Same to you. Doing well. What's up, buddy?
Well, look, I wanted to call. I did this anger management thing when I was back when I was 10. And then I had to do it again when I was an adult. I think the bottom line is that they ask you to deny all your primal, you know, your primal urges. We're all basically cavemen in 2019. And I think that's the most difficult thing. I think one of the other callers, one of you guys said that they ask you to smash all this down and it's no good. Yeah. To this day, I still get the crazy thoughts. But I don't go around whacking people in the head with the baseball bat anymore.
Well, anymore?
You have anymore.
That's the bottom line. I think about it. You know, I get upset because, let's admit it, there's a lot of stupid people. And it's going to happen. So, but, you know, I think Kathy said I'm not going to let them ruin my day. So I think about it. I have maybe some hostile fantasies. you know, enjoy that for a few minutes. And then I go about my business. But I'm not going to deny all my primal urges.
Mr. S, do you currently have someone locked in your basement?
Well, that's why I'm Mr. S.
No. Nobody's asking you to deny your primal urges.
No.
It's to have self-control.
Control. Right.
Well, see, that's the thing, the acting out on. That's what ruins our days.
Yes.
So we can have the thoughts because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But when you start denying the fact that we can have the thoughts and those feelings, that's when the explosive stuff really starts.
Okay, so there's to that point, if you've ever seen the science fiction movie Forbidden Planet, there's a race of, so they go to the planet, you know, there was a civilization that was wiped out. And so there was the creature were called the Krell. And they own the planet, and then they set up this device that could, so you could, if you wanted to move a heavy weight somewhere to another place, you could just imagine, and the power, these generators they created would do that. And so you could materialize anything you needed or all that stuff. What they forgot, though, is that we all have those primal things. So when they activated the machine, in one day, the entire population let loose all of their inner demons and what they think about from moment to moment. I'd like to kill this guy and wiped out the entire species.
Wow.
And so, you know, yes, we all have those. It's keeping it in check.
Right. By the way, and I wanted to go back to Mr. Smith or Mr. S.
Yeah, me too.
The last part of it said he still keeps a baseball bat with him.
Yeah.
It said on our phone screener.
So he's still listening.
I get angry at people, but I don't have the thoughts to beat them over the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah, there might be some deeper-seated things. Listen, he went to therapy when he was 10 years old.
Yeah.
He may have had some,
and then he was in the major leagues for a while.
Yeah, he may have had some bad things happen.
Mr. S, if you could do me a favor and just send me an email. Let me know where you live and the things that you like to do, the places you go, so I can make sure I don't go there anymore. Just on the off chance.
Let me go to, let's see, we have a number. Then the reason we got started on this conversation was Alec Baldwin is going to anger management. It's court ordered. And Casey was curious if that actually works. And I'd have a hard time seeing like just a handful of weeks really changing your life. You never know. For some people, it might do that.
I think it's a way you adopt, the way you adopt something like AA. You know, at least that's what my friend who went through it described it as. It's you're not just, I'm cured. It gives you a skill set that you carry with you as you deal with life. And he found it very productive.
I will go next to Ethan. Hi, Ethan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everything?
Good. What's up, Ethan?
So I just wanted to say that I feel like I used to have, problems controlling my emotions, especially when it came to dealing with other people.
Yeah.
But it's like you guys were saying, it's like why am I going to let somebody else control my life, control my emotions, when I'm never going to meet them, when they're not important in my life? So I've come to the realization that if anybody is going to piss me off, I feel like I'm only going to let it be family. It's family's opinion who's the only one who really matters.
Your point is it's easier to beat them up because they're right in the house.
Yeah.
No. You know the phrase that I've heard, Ethan, and people say it, and I think it's a very valid phrase, is you're letting this person rent space in your brain.
Ooh, I like that.
You're letting this person, and why? Why are you doing that?
Exactly. It makes no difference. And I'm never going to interact with, with strangers. Like, even coworkers, even if they piss me off, they don't really piss me off. Right? It's just frustrating, and it'll pass in like 5 minutes because that's the kind of guy I am. I don't care about what anybody says.
And also, if you see it as a sort of egotistical thing, as a self-involved thing, that this is that you raise it to this level of anger.
But Ethan, were you in anger management?
I was never in it, but I was close to going. But then when I kind of had that epiphany, I was just like, let me just take a step back myself.
Okay.
And I never really needed to.
Okay.
To go,
Can you do that online? An online online management class.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, we keep referring to the Take on Me by Aha, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but Weezer dropped an album last night, early this morning, and there's a cover of that song by Weezer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I've got the.
Don't tell us we don't know what's going on.
I got all that coming up in music.
Okay.
News later, yeah. But yes, absolutely. Let me see what else. No. I'm going to go to
Mort from Aha's on line three.
No, he's not. Mort.
That's
Mort.
His name, right? The lead singer.
Is it really?
Yeah. Check it out, Nick. I think it's Mort.
Please. Mort from Sweden?
Is he Swedish?
German? Swedish?
Yeah. Are they Swedish or German? I don't know.
They are Norwegian.
Norwegian.
And, the Morten Harket. And Magna for Holman and Paul Wacker.
Morten, so you know those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Nick, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I see a lot of the calls. I heard a lot of the calls that were coming in. We're talking about how you can kind of control it by yourself, but a lot of that is actually physical, and I wanted to talk about my experiences with that.
All right. So,
yeah, please.
Real quick, though, have you been through anger management or therapy?
Yes. Okay. I'm currently doing both.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So for me, and for a lot of people, I want to say it's physical, meaning for me, I actually suffer from bipolar disorder. Which oftentimes you can have a lot of outbursts of anger and things like that when it's uncontrolled. What people I don't think realize is that's a very physical illness. And what happens is you'll have these moments or these time periods. It could last a day, it could be a few hours, it could be, it varies. But you'll have these moments where you're in really, really high highs. You're really manic. You feel really good. Nothing can knock you down. And then after a few days, your serotonin levels drop dramatically up to about 40%. So you get into a deep, dark lull, and you get really anxious, really depressed, and a lot of times that anxiety can turn into anger. You just kind of hold it all in. You get really, your heart rate starts to speed up, and you don't really have that ability to think before you do things. That's why medicine can be very, very important for those,
right.
For those types of illnesses.
All right, so and you've had good luck?
Oh, for sure. No, I wouldn't say luck, though. It's been a lot of practice since I was a kid.
All right.
A lot of therapy, a lot of medicine.
And you would say you're in a good place now?
For sure.
All right. Excellent. Absolutely. All right.
Can I ask what type of medicine did you take?
I take medicine. Actually, it's been a long road ever since I was a kid. So I've probably been on, I actually had to take a count of this the other day. I think I've been on about 16 different medicines since I was 12 years old. I'm now 27.
Any Imodium?
Imodium, sometimes.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
For the side effects, yeah.
No, I would imagine that there's a lot of trial and error in mm-hmm. finding the proper
and
medication.
You also have to watch out. You don't want to be a drugged-up zombie, and that can happen
exactly.
as well.
All right,
when I was a kid, that was a big problem. They kind of just throw everything at you and see what sticks.
You got to take ownership of it.
Yep. Well, glad you're doing better, Nick. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry, I had a bubble in my throat.
I couldn't even notice.
Sorry about that. That's
I like protein.
I found the most angry I got this past year, and you know, and it goes back to the control issue.
Yes,
and I mean embarrassed, but I got really mad watching Eagles games, and it's because I literally have zero control over anything that happens in the game, and so
you figured that out.
No, it's not that I figured it out, but you know, when you know calls by the referees are either made or not made that I feel like they should have been,
right.
You know, like I was getting really, really mad, and I'm able to meter my reactions when I'm around my children or just children in general, but like when, you know, I'm in a crowd, you know, I kind of lost my stuff, and the other point I was going to make, you know, with control is also like when a play happens on the field. And let's say, you know, a receiver's going out to catch a pass and our defender's right there. And I'm like, turn around. Just turn around. You can turn around and you'll be able to block the ball. And he doesn't. And it's because I have zero control over that
situation. That's also just standard enthusiasm for you're swept up in it. You're not, I don't think you're driven to rage, right? You wouldn't say that.
Oh, no. You should have heard me at the Texans game. There was legit rage going on.
Yeah. I would imagine that part of that, though, is because game day starts off as the world is your oyster. Opportunity. Mm-hmm. How happy am I and excited? We're going to win today.
Yeah.
This is going to be freaking awesome. And it doesn't go that way. Mm-hmm. And that is the trigger that goes from how excited and happy you are to how disappointed.
And it's a wide mood swing.
Yeah, and us as a fan base have no control over anything. You know, the only people that have any control whatsoever are the people that are actually on the field.
You have control over your anger, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean this in a mean way, Casey, but it's insane. You know, that's a terrible way to look at sports. You should get enjoyment out of it, not anger and frustration. I've been there, but like you have to evolve away from the anger because it destroys. Like you getting that frustrated and angry at a football game is a waste.
I'm gonna go to John on the phone lines. He's probably been pissed off. He's probably because he's been on hold for 25 minutes. So. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So you went through anger management.
Yeah, about 14 years ago, I went through kind of a nasty divorce. Ex-wife accused me of everything under the sun, and everything she accused, they kind of went with and just ordered me into some other program.
Okay.
But as far as the anger management goes, it was interesting because you got to see perspectives from other people.
Yeah.
And other people's perspectives of themselves. And, like, it was funny because, like, some people have no insight into themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And we're there saying, like, I don't need anger management, but they're saying it where they're screaming and cursing. And
yeah.
Then they're
like Kathy. Stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're telling stories of slapping coffee out of somebody's hand because he made the last cup and didn't make another pot.
Yes. Right. And they feel justified in that.
Exactly. And so, like...
I just came back from complaining about the coffee pot.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't slap coffee out of someone's hands, though. I just pissed in the carafe.
At the time, I was kind of going through a lot, and so I was tending to be a little more angry. But then as I started to see what other people were going through, it kind of eased that amount that, like, I didn't feel like I'm the only person going through this.
And that's why those groups, you know, your people fight tooth and nail. My brother, you know, he you know, when he finally ended up in AA and sat around with a group of people experiencing the same thing, and you realize there's a collective experience that's going on, it helps put it in perspective. Part of the anger and angst and all that stuff is predicated on you feeling alone. I'm the only person going through this. And when you hear similar stories, you can start to open up and hopefully, you know, tap into it. How are you doing now? Are you doing well, do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, you tend to lose it from time to time.
Yes, everyone does.
I commute, so I drive for like an hour and a half for work. And it's funny because that's like my time to get it out. While I'm in the car, I'll scream and yell and get it all out, and then when I get to where I'm going, I'm good.
Well, if I may suggest something, this might help you. Volvo has autonomous level 3 driving. Keystone, no.
And a radio.
So listen. No, yeah, honestly, I can imagine how many tirades occur every morning during the commute. Thank Christ We are hours ahead of it. It's
when we're
on vacation and you actually do drive around in morning rush hour, you realize the misery people are going through, and our hearts go out to you every day.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it. There's a line from Synchronicity, too, from the police that says, packed like lemmings into shiny metal boxes.
Yes,
that's people sitting in traffic right there, so it can be hard. Difficult to hang on. Hang on, I'm going to go to this caller, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, what are you pissed off about?
I'm not pissed off about anything right now.
Why not?
Because I just won $1,000.
We got a winner for MMR's Go Fund Yourself campaign. That's all you got to do is just win money from our contest.
Why didn't we give this advice earlier?
Why don't we just give everybody listening we can't do that.
We can't.
We are giving certain callers, certain people who enter in, who are chosen at random via MMR's mobile app or WMMR.com, $1,000 in cash, and that includes Jeremy. Nice little surprise this morning, right, Jerem?
Absolutely.
All right, where are you from, by the way?
Dover, Delaware.
All right. And, hey, listen, by the way, it's not over. You could still win $10,000. Even our $1,000 winners are still registered for the $10,000 grand prize. So hang in there on that one. All right, my man?
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
Congratulations.
Cheer for Jeremy, everybody. Our winner. Go fund yourself.
That
next opportunity
awesome.
Is coming up at 11 a.m. with one Mr. Pierre Robert. So, listen, thank you for the phone calls. I thought it was interesting because, Casey, when we were doing the celebrity news, brought it up with the question, does anger management really work? And Nick said that the texts started going through the roof, so we figured it'd be worth exploring. So we appreciate the phone calls. And I'm sorry if we didn't get to you, Ray. I know you're on hold for a long time. I apologize.
I can't stand this show.
I know, but we got a break because we have some guests who are going to be joining us shortly. Richard Roundtree.
Yeah,
Shaft himself.
Shaft knows how to handle anger.
Is going to be here in our studio along with actor Aldous Hodge. What Men Want premieres February 8th, and we'll talk to those guys when we return. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
Steven Secret Jewelers is not revealing one new gold-dipped rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the film What Men Want is opening on February 8th. It stars Taraji P. Henson. Has actually a lot of cool cameos.
Absolutely.
In the film as well. And we have two gentlemen in our studio who are starring in this film. And we are very, very excited to have them here in the studio. One definitely needs a musical setup, as you would imagine. That's got to happen pretty much wherever he goes. So we would like first to welcome the one and only Mr. Richard Roundtree.
Yeah.
This morning.
Good morning.
Richard, good morning. And our next guest, I don't know, I could play something from Showboat maybe because he was 9 years old when he made his Broadway debut in Showboat, but I don't have
How
anything.
How about Leverage or
something from Leverage?
Hidden Figures.
Aldous Hodge is here.
Yeah.
Good morning. And I want to make sure I get it correct. Aldous or?
Aldous.
Aldous. Okay. Yeah, I was curious about the pronunciation. Yeah. No problem. Thank you, gentlemen. We've had a lot of excitement about your appearance here today. So a lot of people wanted to come in and make sure that they were, as you can see, all the cameras and stuff. That
it's a full house of it.
Well, I'm a massive, as many people are, I fanboy out on Shaft all the time. Richard, I'm a massive fan of yours. I've loved the movie all the time. And concerning this new film, there was What Women Want. And I always thought it was a cute movie, but I always thought there was more that could have been done with it. Because to me, it sort of provided behind-the-lines intelligence, you know, for men to see what women think. And I think I think it could have had a little more oomph to it. And it appears that what men want goes there.
Oh, brother, we got some.
Yeah, got some.
Please believe.
And
we got some.
I mean, hilarious stuff, and you have a great cast, and it has. I love a comedy that has a bit of an edge to it.
Yeah,
and I think the first one sort of was soft. It was a little too soft, you know. You need to really get to the matter. So, what drew you guys to this project, Richard?
Taraji.
Yeah, Taraji. Yeah. She's awesome. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, she's a and she's it's the same thing. She's playing a sports agent who gets passed over for a promotion, yeah. and through a. Sort of a mystical way,
the old glass ceiling,
right. But she gets this ability to hear what men are thinking, and it's off and running. So, yeah. Would you like to be around a woman in real life who could decide, figure out what you're thinking?
Absolutely not. We don't need those problems. You're good to go.
That's Aldis, you were in a movie with Taraji, but I don't think you guys shared any scenes together in Hidden Figures.
Yeah, so we did Hidden Figures, man, and. I'm really happy about the fact that on this go-around, we actually got to work together in depth, man.
Yep.
It's like Richard said, what brought me to the table was also Taraji. And then also our director, Adam Shankman, is incredible. The man is a genius with stringing together different sorts of comedy and just keeping the tone, you know, right and keeping that pace up, man.
He has a proven track record for this stuff. He's very talented, yeah.
Yeah, and what I also love about this is the fact that the audience gets an opportunity to see Taraji in a whole new light.
Mm-hmm. I've always known that she's funny.
She's funny.
She, I was a fan of, I knew her basically from some supporting roles and then Empire and big fan. And then she can do it all. But I think she's the perfect person to cast in this role because you need someone who can make a sort of, not Scrooge-like, but that sort of transformation, you know, who comes to there needs to be that viable transformation. You have to like the person going through it.
Yeah, I mean, she's likable 100% all the way through. And the thing, what she's dealing with, you know, dealing with being a woman in a male-dominated environment at her job.
Yeah.
And having, like, you know, Richard said, having to break through that glass ceiling, you actually get to understand what it is like, what her experience
sure.
would be like.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
as a woman, because a lot of women go through that today. But... then you have the legend here being her daddy, Mr. Smooth.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, it was cool, man, being able to work with Mr. Roundtree.
I have to tell you, I watched Shaft again last night. I have a couple of different versions of it, and I've always loved the movie. I've loved you for years. You are the quintessence of Smooth in that character. Knowing that, was that your second film, Shaft, or your first? In your film career, Shaft?
No, I was in a film, What Do You Say to a Naked Lady?
Oh, that was a candid camera movie, correct?
Yes. That was my first role on film, yeah.
Yeah, and then on to that with Gordon Parks.
Gordon Parks, yeah.
Yeah, the great Gordon Parks. And that just holds up. I assume, Aldis, you're a massive fan as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a student of the game. I've been in this business since I was two. So when you get around people who've been doing it and you can just sit back and soak up, because as an artist, you're continually learning.
Sure,
you know
sure.
what I mean? So to be able to be on set between him and Taraji and their massive careers, I'm just like, I'm going to sit back and take these notes.
Yeah.
Now, Richard, you've had a great career, but early out of the gate, you set the tone with this iconic character. And a few people have done it. Not that many, though. Stallone with Rocky, and there could be a few more. What is that like of now you're... You go on, you live your entire life, you've done other things, you've had success, but you've always got that. You'll always be Shaft, you know?
Yes.
But I mean, is that, you appreciate that, you know?
I do, yeah. I do.
Do you feel a bit constricted by it?
You think?
we fanboy out over it, so I guess I can understand if you're pelted by it all the time. But you've done great stuff, but it's, you know, watching it yesterday, and it just holds up, and it's of a time.
Well,
it's,
wait till you see the one that's coming out in June.
Okay, so this is...
Three generations of Shaft.
Right.
Samuel L. Jackson's my son, and he has a son.
Oh, wow. Because Samuel L. Jackson. Okay, very cool.
I remember, yeah, I remember the Samuel L. Jackson, and you were in that one as well. I thought that was a great movie, so they're going to take it a step further.
Oh.
And have another generation.
Quantum Leap.
Oh, nice.
Quantum Leap.
Okay.
All and right. It started what is considered the second golden age of Hollywood. The 70s, you know, started, you know, there would be no Quentin Tarantino without that 70s, that massive string of great, you know, essential movies. And that film set a tone that was copied and, you know, time and time again. I wanted to ask you about this movie, What Men Want. You have a great supporting cast. You had Tracy Morgan on set. Tracy's awesome, but he can be a handful. What was he like working with?
Well, the thing that's great about Tracy, he's authentically him, right? So what you're seeing on screen, like, he just brings that humor to set. Just naturally. Like, the brother would come into the makeup trailer in the morning, blasting the radio. We out there, you know, getting ready, but kind of having a little bit of a party. It's a nice kickstart to the day.
Right.
He brings the energy.
Right.
But the thing that's just awesome about him is his personality is just so on. You know what I mean? It's just, it's exactly what you're getting on screen is his nature.
Right.
And I think that as a comedian, the man knows his timing. He knows his skill set. He knows how to hit that punchline when he needs to because it's just coming from him naturally. So it was awesome to work with him.
Were you allowed any room for improvisation when you were doing the film? Because I assume he's somebody you sort of let run.
Yeah,
okay. Do you both embrace that, or is that...
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, you want the audience to have fun watching, so you got to have fun doing it. So you got to, you know, be with a team that understands, you know, give you space to create the character as an actor. That's what you're doing.
Right.
And, you know, give much credit to our wonderful director, Adam Shankman, for allowing us a space to really do our jobs. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we have so many moments in there that were just off top, just from us vibing naturally, bringing it to the screen, that you can't get if you're too restricted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they just let us run, and we had a good old time.
All right, so Richard's playing the father character. Who are you in this film, Aldis?
Well.
Yeah, yes.
I suppose...
He's buzzing around my daughter.
You know, you're the love interest.
I'm trying to court this man's daughter. You know, what happened was we met one night. You know, one thing led to another, turned into a little relationship. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to... keep my head in the game, and I got to meet Pops in this...
Man, if I had to meet Richard Roundtree as the dad of the girl I was courting, I don't think I could emotionally endure that. Yeah,
stand up straight.
Well, you got a good track record because you got the Locked Lips with Janelle Monae and Hidden Figures and now Taraji in this movie.
Right.
Life ain't so bad.
No, life is not bad at all. I'm not complaining at all.
No, but how so obviously as the movie sets up, though, she can hear what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And that ain't going to lead to anything good, I would imagine.
It leads to some fun. Uh-huh. I'll say some shenanigans.
Yeah. Well, there's a sex scene. That, and every guy.
Oh, man.
I think every guy has.
There's a romantic love-making scene.
But I like when movies will sort of peel off the layer and admit we all have commonality in experiences, and there are certain things that will throw off your game. It's happened with my wife where she'll say, "What's that face?" or and it's just the nature of the deal.
But are you talking about the highlight reel, as they call it?
Exactly.
During the throes of this, maybe we explore that a little.
So when you're talking about the "what's that face" of it all, you get those answers directly and immediately in that scene. Trust me.
I want to ask you guys about an actor who used to be a joke, and then I think he learned that he was the joke, and now I think he's hilarious, and that's Brian Bosworth, and he's in the movie with you guys, and he did these Dr. Pepper commercials over that are hilarious, and it's partly because he's making fun of himself. Mm. What was his role in What Men Want, and was he like that on set?
Boz is great, man. So he plays Taraji's boss.
Okay.
Right? The guy who's unfortunately putting his foot on the neck.
Yeah. And he's kind of a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Not in real life. I mean, he's awesome in real life. But,
right.
You know, in the movie, he's that guy, you know. Yeah. And him and Taraji, they go at it. But honestly, he fits seamlessly, and he does a fantastic job. He really does. The boy brought out his acting chops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's the thing that's really awesome about this film to me is that there's so many different types of comedians, different types of comedy going on, and you'll be surprised by a lot of people. Erykah Badu, you're going to be surprised. Yeah. She's hilarious.
Well, okay? I love the fact that there's heart to it as well, because I think you laugh at stuff that resonates as true, you know, that's it's a version of observational comedy, and that's what makes it work. Yeah. I wanted to ask you something just on a side trick about your career, and I don't know if this is Wikipedia lore or legend. Oh, you start as two different characters in two different Die Hard movies, correct?
I did.
You did? Was it Die Hard with a Vengeance and A Good Day to Die Hard?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I really like Die Hard with a Vengeance. Who were you? I would imagine you were a little boy.
Yeah, I played Raymond. I played Sam Jackson's nephew.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Which would kind of make me Richard's...
Grandnephew.
Yeah. There's a whole new movie there.
So, I don't know why you're not in the next Shaft movie.
Nah,
you deserve a role.
You know? So technically...
Hello.
Yeah. There's a whole mess going on here.
Yeah, man.
Richard, do you enjoy comedy? Do you enjoy that aspect of, you know, trying... exercising those
That's
acting muscles?
Scary.
It's scary.
Yeah. That's... interesting, because this role is a very straight role.
I mean,
he's die hard dad.
But a straight role is essential to getting the laughs. You know, you've got to have someone to react off of.
I think Andre Brouwer in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that character, right there. Yeah. That's the funniest character in the show.
Comedy is difficult and scary for me.
Yeah.
Give me the straight character. I can do that. I can handle that. But you... throw me in comedy. I'm doing one as we speak. A new series is coming out. Dang.
It's okay.
So coming out this summer. Family reunion.
Okay. Yeah. And you have a director. If a director understands that, though, and can utilize that, I mean, you know, that means everything. You remember the original Airplane movie? Mm. They took actors that were not normally associated with comedy, stuck them in there, and told them to act it, you know, straight away, and that's how it works. Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I was saying about Adam, is that he knew everybody's flavor and he knew how to really.
Adam actually brought me to this role.
Yeah,
because he directed a lot of Being Mary Jane.
Ah, yeah.
How many years did you do with that?
Four and a half.
Yeah. Do you like serious stuff? We were asking.
That's my lane.
Yeah, that's your lane. Yeah. For an actor, is because the question came up. We were talking about
Law and Order.
Mariska Hargitay, and being on a show for decades. As an actor, is that simultaneously wonderful and confining? You know, or is it the equivalent of an actor's 9-to-5 job?
It's specific to the person.
Yeah.
Some actors want certain careers and some, but it all depends on what will fulfill you at the end of the day, right?
You
go to work happy. So you get to a point where sometimes, you know, you love your job so much, you locked in, and that's just what it is, and you're happy being there. Other times, you might want to just grow and explore a little bit, and then you go try to do that. It's tough to switch lanes because you got to work for people to give you a shot. But case in point, I did a series back in the day called Leverage. We did, mm-hmm. you know, a few years, and, you know, it was kind of like a caper kind of, you know.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, Timothy Hutton, yeah.
Yeah, so most people, you know, I was able to flex a few comedic chops there. Most people don't realize I did stand-up comedy from, like, 11 years old to 18 years old.
Right? Oh, kidding.
But since Leverage passed, it's been straight drama for a long time. So when this came up, much like Mr. Richard, I was scared because I know that I love comedy and I want people to see me in a comedic space because I just want, you know, but you stepping back out there and, you know, people can be like, hey, bro, are you funny? can you do this?
And you got to prove it.
You got to work for it. You got to prove it.
But I tell you what, man, it's interesting about that series stuff. When it hits and Leverage has been off the air. I didn't even know it. It could still be a current show. It's on so often still.
We ended it production. We ended production in 2012.
In 2012, and it still feels like a current show. Yeah. So residuals are nice, as I'm sure they keep coming in.
Yeah, it's a different time for residuals, bruh. It's a different time.
Is it?
It's a different day.
Really? Wow.
I'm just happy so much that people there. Still watch the show.
Well, yeah. It's funny because we did a couple episodes of It's Always Sunny, and occasionally I'll get a check for like $3.
Yeah, $7.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And what you say is, you know what, God dang it, this is $3 I didn't have yesterday.
Exactly.
So, you know what, Jesus, I'm gonna be grateful for these $3.
that is 30 chicken nuggets at Burger King.
You know what, my man?
Yes.
That's God dang it, that is the glass half full.
You by the way, I don't know what your promotional tour is like, but are you going to be back in L.A. for the SAG Awards this weekend? Because you're a SAG Award winner.
Yes.
You are. We're all SAG members.
We're not saying you have to suck up to us, but
yeah, we vote on the.
Of course, I will not be back for the SAG Awards. I got work to do.
You got to work.
And I think the best part about being in SAG, obviously the healthcare is really good, but. Around this time of year when we get all the screeners, DVDs.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
So hold up. I want y'all to remember this conversation, though, because when the SAG Awards comes around next year and you get the screener for What Men Want,
we know.
I'm going to need you to not act brand new. Don't act like you don't know nobody.
I wanted to ask you, Richard, because you played football in high school and in college, and we're obviously very good at it. As we are around the time of the Super Bowl, is this special for you, or did you... Are you still as every bit the football fanatic, or where do you stand now?
I pull back quite a bit. I go to an annual party out in California. Yeah. And the betting is terrific.
I mean, how intense do you go?
It gets up there. The
okay.
Tickets, yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Asking a man to spill all the seeds. Yes.
Well, those block pools, you know, depending on how much you're willing to spend on a block, I know people who will do, and this maybe it sounds like chump change, but to me, $1,000 a block is a lot of money. Yeah. And what people will do is they'll pay.
That's 30,000 nuggets.
But what a lot of people will do in this is they'll, like, every month they'll give $100, you know, because, you know, $1,000 at once is a lot of money, but I mean, you could stand to win tens of thousands of dollars if you hit, you know. So this, I don't know if we're talking that kind of money.
No, we're not talking that kind of money.
Okay.
I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid.
Well, we'll see how the movie opens, you know. It's looking like it's going to do pretty damn well.
We definitely feel it.
Absolutely.
Sure. It looks like a lot of fun. So February 8 is when the movie premieres, and it is called What Men Want, so you won't want to miss on it. Gentlemen, it's been an honor to meet you. Thanks for coming by this morning. We
enjoyed
appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you to Richard Roundtree and Aldis Hodge, guys.
Thank you.
What Women Want, and then look for the next Shaft film.
What Men Want.
There was another movie called What Women Want. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MMRE.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata and Calendar Girls, Ariel and Alexa, tomorrow from 1 to 3 in front of Milk House at Suburban Station. Philadelphia Weekly is making a renewed commitment to the city with the launch of a new look. Get a copy of the newly designed print issue plus a 2019 Totally Office calendar. Friday from noon till 2, Preston Elliott rocks the grand opening of Acme on Ridge Avenue in Roxborough. Enjoy the new hot bar and salad bar, plus expanded seafood, produce, and prepared foods. Enter to win a VIP experience for the MMRBQ 2019 or a big game watch package, including an Acme gift card and a big screen TV. WMMR.com for details. Track down the MMRBQ to win tickets for the Philly Auto Show February 2nd to the 10th. 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days all under one roof. There's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Two quick things. If you own a restaurant, manage a restaurant, whatever it is, and you're interested in being in part of what we call a meet and eat, a few times a week we have restaurants come in and they bring in some food and some stuff for us to give away, and we promote that business throughout the course of the morning. It's an advertising package that restaurants buy, and we are giving one of those advertising packages away for free. So if you happen to own a restaurant, you need to click contest at WMMR.com and look for the meet and greet giveaway and enter the information there. And next, the deadline, by the way, is tomorrow at 11 a.m. So roughly, you know, you got a day to get on that. And then next Thursday, you need to be able to come by and have food prepared for 20 people by 7:30 a.m. And we'll give you the promotion throughout the course of the morning and meet you and all that good stuff.
First time we've ever done this.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a highly coveted thing, so we're thrilled to be able to do it.
WMMR.com. Once again, click on contest and go to the Meet and Eat promotion. And then the other thing, Casey, I need a winner for the Fish 3-day lawn passes. So what number caller that knows the secret text word today?
All right, we're going to go with caller 46, as in 46 days, because you need a little bit of time, right?
Sure. 215-263-WMMR, caller 46. If you know the secret word, you will win. Let's do the B-File.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File brought to you this morning by Major League Wrestling. Expect the unexpected as Major League Wrestling presents a live BN Sports televised network special. February 2nd at the 2300 Arena right off of 95 in South Philadelphia. Visit MLWGO.com for tickets and information. We'll start with a pretty disturbing story, but one that was nipped in the bud, thank God. A Colorado man who raged online about his virginity to threaten to kill as many girls as I see.
Yeah.
Leading police to fear that he was targeting a nearby Women's March event. Christopher Cleary was arrested Saturday after writing a long Facebook diatribe about being a virgin and wanting to become the next mass shooter. Thank God he wrote about this stuff on Facebook.
Thank God these people are stupid.
Cleary told police that he was just venting, but he was already on probation from a 2018 conviction for stalking and making a repeated communication of domestic violence and a series of murderous young men who call themselves incels. You may have heard of them. Involuntary celibate is what incel stands for.
Yeah.
Have recently used singledom as an excuse for deadly attacks on women.
Do you remember that Ted Bundy actually was set off because a woman with brown hair that he liked made fun of him?
Wow.
And really? that was the step up. God. Yep.
Cleary traveled to Provo, Utah and checked into an Airbnb January 18th, the day before the city's planned Women's March. Late that night, his Facebook friends started calling police to report a series of threatening posts he allegedly authored. He said, "All I wanted was a girlfriend, not a thousand, not a bunch of hoes. I've never had a girlfriend before, and I'm still a virgin. This is why I'm planning on shooting up a public place soon and being the next mass shooter, because I'm ready to die, and all the girls that turned me down is going to make it right by killing as many girls as I see."
All this lunatic needed to do was to apply to The Bachelor.
He said, yeah, right. He said, "There's nothing more dangerous than a man ready to die." So this psycho was arrested.
It was going
to
go south.
Thank God. That's actually a good story. Let's see. How about this one? It's every musician's worst nightmare to have their instrument damaged while traveling, but these poor passengers had to watch theirs get destroyed when passengers boarded the Regional Express from Büchen to Hamburg last week. Little did they know the horror that would await them. The trip suddenly took a turn for the worse when a drunk man pulled out a knife and then began throwing people's luggage onto the track. He was on a moving train.
Yes.
And he starts throwing all the stuff off, as well as launching another passenger's bicycle off the train.
That's my bicycle!
The 36-year-old perpetrator also destroyed two cellos and a viola. Despite security being alerted, the string of instruments could not be recovered. And it comes as no surprise, given that the German train was traveling about 90 miles an hour. After being arrested, the man was stopped in his tracks and charged with damage amounting to $14,000. When asked why he decided to threaten the 25 other passengers and crew with a knife, he simply replied, "Because I can."
I don't like cellos.
I hate cellos.
Everybody loves cellos.
Not this guy.
There's always room for cellos, guys.
No, that's true. I never thought
it's
about
cello.
That. Police say a burglar is in custody after a wild crime spree in Hoboken last week that had a number of twists and turns along the way. Listen to what this guy did. It all started when authorities say the man wearing a construction jacket broke into a pizzeria through the roof. Yeah. He tried to break an ATM to steal cash, but was unsuccessful. Then he went into the back and took 24 bottles of Snapple. The suspect tried using a fire extinguisher to break out through the front door, only to find the roll-down gate was closed, so he was trapped. So he climbed back up, crawled through a common attic, and then dropped into the small nail salon next door. Then he proceeded to steal some money from the salon. Upon realizing he was trapped in that location, he climbed back up to the crawl space and went into the liquor store next to the nail salon.
He's just making the rounds.
After stealing liquor from the store, he broke a 6-foot hole and went into a dollar store. He went through the wall where he was unable to escape from there. In the end, police say he drank liquor, fell asleep on a shelf, and the dollar store proprietor found him at about 10 a.m. the next day.
Note to self, plan robberies better.
Mm-hmm. Benny Ramirez was arrested and charged with 4 counts of burglary after that whole exchange. And I think that's all I have time for, unfortunately. Right, Kay? So we got to wrap that up. Sorry about that. So real quick, we can get ourselves a winner. We were looking for caller number 46, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go to Megan. Hey, Megan.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, Megan?
I'm good.
All right. So first of all, you're caller 46, which is a huge accomplishment. Can you give me the secret text word, please?
Tweezer.
That is correct. Megan, are you a Fish fan?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to go see them 3 days in a row. We are going to give you a pair of 3-day lawn passes to see them. BB&T Pavilion, June 28th through the 30th. Congratulations. Hang on the line, okay?
Thank you.
Nice job, Megan. We're going to do a similar giveaway tomorrow. I think we have reserved seats to give away tomorrow.
Wow.
So get yourself set for that. Tickets are on sale tomorrow, by the way, 11 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Complete details at WMMR.com. Use the keyword fish. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
You know what? I want to go ahead before we do lesson question and trash. I think we talked to these guys.
Think we do.
Okay. I think we should. So we would like to welcome to our studio a gentleman who's been with MMR for quite a stretch, and we love him to death. Marcus in the darkest.
Marcus.
Hello. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Hey, is my mic etiquette better this time?
What happened last time? I don't remember.
I was on the wrong side of the mic. Totally not headed it hard.
It looks like you've learned.
I think so.
Since your last appearance. Who's here with you? Please introduce.
Vince Strausser, who is the co-chair of Team WMMR, and Sean Triggs, who is the American Cancer Society representative for Bikeathon, and he's putting us on Facebook Live right now.
And that's what we are here to talk about, the American Cancer Society Bikeathon. It's coming up Sunday, June 9th, a ways off, but the recruiting and the fundraising and all that stuff gets going now, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And, okay. And as, on the Bikeathon committee, we start planning it the week after the Bikeathon ends.
Yeah,
and
this is, Marcus, this is your big...
Baby.
You really go after this. Yeah. Which is cool, man. And
I love it.
Do you have a personal connection to someone with cancer?
I have a lot.
You started, yeah?
I have a lot. I mean, I started getting involved. It was a public affairs dare, but my grandma at the same time, she was in her 80s and was beating breast cancer.
Okay.
So that's where it started for me. And then since then, I've lost multiple friends to cancer, family members as well. And we've had a few friends as well that ride with Team WMMR beat cancer, too. So
you don't have to go far. Everybody knows somebody. Zero degrees of separation now. Yeah, absolutely. So,
everybody.
But your passion for it extends far beyond just this. I mean, you walk the walk in so many ways in all the things you do. So it's very cool, man. It's from the heart, and the people who join you are all motivated by the purest of reasons. It's great.
Team WMMR has been incredible. We are the most grassroots team of them all, and we had 181 riders last year, and we raised $71,000 in 15 years. This will be our 15th year. We've had over 700 riders. Over 1,200 riders, and we've raised almost $700,000.
Vince, how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing this 13 years.
13 years? Okay.
About 6 years with MMR now.
Yeah. Okay. And you're the president of it now? Not of the team?
I'm the co-captain.
He's the co-captain of WMMR. Okay.
We're both on the ACS Bikeathon committee.
Okay. Yeah. I gotcha. So what do people need to know to get involved at all, and then B, if they want to be a part of Team WMMR?
Right away, they need to know that they got to go out to acsbike.org and sign up almost immediately. Because as of February 1st, the registration goes up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we want to get that out there. We have
How much is registration, by
$40.
The way?
$40 now. It jumps to $60.
Okay. This is, I mean, as far as there's a few different rides for a few different causes in the city, but this one is the most affordable one.
Yeah.
Just in registration. And then, each team member is obligated to raise a certain amount of money, right?
$100. It's the cheapest ride in the city.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, $1 from everybody you work with.
Okay.
Get you $100.
Yep. Yeah.
And or then, $99 from the guy who really likes you and $1 from the guy who's not so sure about you.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. You got $100 right there.
And what's the bike route like?
It's amazing. You start at the Ben Franklin Bridge. You ride over the Ben Franklin Bridge. They shut it down. And you ride all the way down to the beach at Atlantic City. And there's a stretch where you ride on the AC Expressway that's amazing because they just repaved it 3 years ago. I think you ride on that part during the Tour de Shore.
We don't ride on the AC Expressway at all, but they did repave 73, which was awesome. And we had all these tailwinds. So I was doing 20 miles per hour without even trying.
Yeah,
and flip flops.
Yeah. And I also did it. Not flip-flops, but sandals. Yeah,
high heels.
The whole thing in sandals.
Man, that's crazy.
People were blown away by that. But
did your feet hurt afterwards?
Not even a little bit. Yeah, that's why, because I over the summer, I'd been riding in my sandals all summer, you know, like 20, 30, 40-mile rides. And I'm like, you know what? This is how I'm going to do the ride this year. And I did it, and it was awesome.
Good. Everyone who does this and has been with you, Marcus, and your group has just raved about it becomes something that they. I'm doing it next year too. They just love it. So yeah. It gets in your blood, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, if you ride or if you don't, like if you're with somebody who rides, you can volunteer. We take volunteers as well. We need SAG riders, and it's another way to get involved if you're not into the physical aspect, but you want to give back because again, we've all been impacted by cancer. So. It's another way to give back. There's rest stops. The end point's amazing.
Is there a party at the
end? Yeah, there is. And there's a big survivor ceremony where we honor the survivors and the caregivers because the caregivers don't get enough recognition for some of the work they do. And taking care of anybody who's going through any illness is very difficult. Yeah. And it's both physically and mentally strapping. And so we make sure that those people are recognized as well for their hard work.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, of course, the survivor ceremony is wonderful, and it's right there on the beach, and it's a beautiful day.
Let's get people signed up. $40 for now, $20 after the first, you said, Vince. Yep. And then, and you only have to raise $100.
That is manageable.
Way beyond that. Best way to sign up. What do you do?
ACSBike.org. Go to Team WMMR and sign up.
All right.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
All righty. Am I talking on the right side of the mic?
And then also, I want to throw this out there. So June 9th is the ride. This, you know, you talked about the physical aspect of it all. This is another great motivator. So if you needed a reason to get to the gym or to get out and exercise, maybe you sign up for this now. Mm-hmm. You know, you basically, you know, flying without a net there. And it gives you a reason to get out there and exercise.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you can also get more information on the Bikeathon Facebook page, which is Philadelphia Bikeathon, Bikeathon on Twitter, or the Instagram, which is...
At Philly Bike.
At Philly Bike. Yeah. So all those, we do a lot of social media. We're active. We actually have an American Cancer Society Bikeathon Committee podcast that's going to be going up soon so people can know what's going on with the committee planning and the event so that they can keep up with what's going on as well. So we have a lot going on. And we're moving forward with social media, with all of the technology.
Very nice.
And
you're on Grindr too, right?
Yes, but don't tell. My wife.
All right, we'll have the information up as well on PrestonandSteve.com. So go get it, guys. Join Team WMMR. Thank you very much. Marcus and Vince.
All right.
Nice job, guys. All right. That's coming up June 9th, by the way. Just give you a heads up, but you need to get started on that now. We're going to do today's lesson question, and today we are going to be giving away a $75 gift card to Walmart. And the question I have for you this morning, boy, I'll be in. Let's see if we can get a winner on this one. All right. What show did Tariq El Moussa show used to star on? Not Flip or Flop. It was something Steve said. But it's not Flip or Flop. It was something else, and it was funny. So let's see. We know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, some stories, please.
Yes, charges being dropped against Chris Hansen for writing $13,000 in bad checks to a mom-and-pop shop in Connecticut. Apparently, Hansen made good on the bill by trading in cases of unused wine coolers and condoms from his show To Catch a Predator.
Oh, my God.
United Airlines contending that a nearly shattered windshield at 35,000 feet was caused by a collision with birds, while furious passengers are saying it was an airline error. Lawyers secured by some of the passengers contend no birds can exist at that altitude, while United is claiming they were more than likely struck by some space geese.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Drake and Odell Beckham Jr. are being sued by one Bennett Snipes, who claims he was viciously beaten by their entourages at Delilah nightclub in West Hollywood. Reps from Delilah are claiming Snipes is at fault, noting that he chose to be there on random beating night.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, we'll see if we can get the answer to the question. And it was Tarek El Moussa. His show, what did he used to star on? 215-263-WMMR. We'll go to Steve for the answer. Steve, good morning.
Morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. So what show did Tarek used to star on?
I believe it was Kuefer Koff.
Kuefer Koff, yes. Spot on, sir. Hang on. We'll take care of you with our $75 gift card to Walmart, your shaving headquarters, courtesy of Bic Flex. With Bic Flex, you'll get a super smooth shave without trimming your bank account, with high-quality blades that flex to the contours of your skin. Smooth shave, smooth price, Bic Flex. Yes, we're playing AHA.
And the video's up again.
All right, let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah!
All right, music news this morning is brought to you by Dunkin'. The best twos are Dunkin' Go Twos. Two egg and cheese wraps for $2. Two bagels with cream cheese spread for $4. Two bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for $5. Preston and Steve are on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. Nick had pointed this out earlier this morning. Weezer dropped a surprise self-titled covers record. It is nicknamed the Teal Album. This happened yesterday. The 10-song collection includes renditions of Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams, Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, Black Sabbath's Paranoid, Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and, of course, Toto's Africa. And we're going to play a little bit of the Sweet Dreams cover.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you.
Wow, that's a straight-ahead cover.
Yes, and I'm down with that.
Yeah, they're using the same synthesizer sounds.
Want to abuse you.
Interesting.
Yeah. I love his voice so much.
He's great. He does have a good voice.
Wow. So when they were through town recently at the Met, my wife went to see him, and I think Marissa, you were there as well. And I think they did the AHA cover,
right? Did they?
They did AHA. That was right when Rivers was up on the second balcony,
right
under us, which is really cool. And then they did a medley between the Turtles' "Happy Together" and Green Day "Longview," which was really cool.
And then here's them playing "Paranoid." That's straight ahead too.
Yeah.
I like it. Case, pull up a little bit. Let's hear some of Billie Jean.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that was Rivers singing on that song.
That
was Brian. Maybe.
All right.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who will dance on the floor in the round.
Interesting, because, you know, earlier this morning we played that Alien Ant Farm cover of Boys of Summer, and they did their own take on it. They completely changed it. This, musically, they're staying spot on to the originals,
which is
interesting and kind of fun. I hope they don't turn into a cover band. but you can have some fun with it. Hailstorm has done it. A few other bands have done it.
Was it Alien Ant Farm that did Smooth Criminal?
No, that was,
Yeah, it was Alien Ant Farm.
I'm sorry, the Ataris did
Boys of Summer,
which we played earlier. Alien Ant Farm did, Smooth Criminal, yes.
Did you say Mr. Blue Sky on the list of songs? The Electric Light Orchestra.
That's on this
record as well.
I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
So the next set of Weezer original music, the Long Awaited Black album, will be released on March 1st, and their 13th studio effort will follow up 2017 Pacific Daydream, which was recently nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Rock Album. The Black Album will be Weezer's sixth color-coded release from the blue, green, red, white, and now teal albums. Rivers Cuomo described the record to NME as darker and more experimental and wildly negative. So we'll see when that one comes out. Former Yankees relief pitcher Mariano Rivera, who used to walk out onto the field to the sounds of Metallica's Enter Sandman before almost always shutting down the opposing team, admitted in a new interview that he has never listened to the band.
Stop it.
And that is for religious reasons.
Oh.
Interesting.
Huh.
Rivera was elected. I don't necessarily see
Metallica is a...
anti-religious?
Yeah.
And I don't wear a cup because it's contraception.
Rivera was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame on Tuesday in his first year of eligibility, making him the first player to ever receive a unanimous vote.
Yeah, literally everybody that could vote for him did. That's the first time in the... He's the best closer in the history of baseball.
Metallica, who actually showed up at Yankee Stadium in 2013 to perform Enter Sandman as Rivera's number was retired, sent along their congratulations in a video. In an interview with the MLB Network, Rivera responded with gratitude, saying, "That is amazing. I'm telling you, it's a blessing on top of blessings. I have so much respect for those guys. I've met them, and they're great people.
I just don't listen to their music."
He said, "Thank God
they're nicest devil worshipers I know.
Thank God for everything they have done, being there for me at the moment, and that I was retiring was amazing." But he also admitted in the same interview, "With all due respect to the guys, I've never been to one of their shows. As a Christian, with all due respect to Metallica, I don't listen to that kind of music."
Yeah, I would not say, I never thought of Metallica as falling in that realm of, oh my God, they're Satan worshipers.
Right. In a separate interview, Rivera confessed, "If that was me, I would have never picked that song. It would have been Christian music. It should have been something that put people to sleep," he said. So I guess it wasn't his choice, whomever ran the stadium.
I'm sure it was the PA announcer or whatever.
You know, because Sandman.
Yeah, lights out.
Lights out. Yeah, so Rivera will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on July 21st at the ceremony in Cooperstown.
Yeah, you know what? So Metallica did a cover of that church song on Eagle's Wings. If you remember that, we have it right here.
Could have chosen that.
That's beautiful.
What were you going to say, Nick?
Two quick side notes about Mariano Rivera. He did all of that with one pitch. He only threw a cutter, and more men have walked on the moon than have scored a postseason run on Mariano Rivera.
Seriously?
Saw that on Twitter.
He pitched on the moon?
No.
That seems no fair.
Missed that fact entirely.
I'm sorry. The annual Hall of Heavy Metal History Gala. An award ceremony is going to take place tonight in Anaheim.
Welcome.
This year, 2019 inductees include thrash band Testament, old school metal band Saxon, Frank Bello from Anthrax, Dave Ellefson from Megadeth.
Neil Sedaka.
Many more. No, but a friend of ours is receiving an award tonight, and that would be Mr. Mike Portnoy.
Wow.
Our drummer buddy. He's getting it. Lita Ford's going to be introduced. Producer Max Norman. And a guy who we actually mentioned just the other day, Lee Kerslake, who was the original drummer on Diary of a Madman.
Who got
Blizzard of Oz.
Sort of overlooked.
Yeah, he was replaced and didn't get his credits. But Ozzy recently sent him a couple of platinum
record awards.
Yeah, so he will be, they have a special event that's taking place for him tonight. So I thought that was pretty cool. Mike Portnoy getting elected into the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame. Jimmy Page will issue a new amplifier that will reproduce the sound of early Led Zeppelin. The newly produced amp comes on the heels of Page's iconic 1959 Dragon Fender Telecaster being released as four signature models later this year to celebrate Led Zeppelin's 50th anniversary. There's a description of the new signature Sundragon amp posted on the new site sundragonamp.com. Page said in a statement about the new amp, "I've been impressed with the forensic analysis by both Mitch and Perry, who designed it, and they have put into research of the sonic reproduction of the original Supro amp to arrive at the Sundragon." So he's pretty stoked about it. And then a couple more things real quick. Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons have announced a free meal a day to TSA workers currently working without pay and furloughed members of the Coast Guard. The KISS co-founders posted a video message announcing that the government workers will be eligible for free food at their Rock and Brews restaurant chain.
That's cool.
Stanley and Simmons' message stated why they felt the need to do their part during the partial government shutdown. Gene said, "We're proud to operate our Rock and Brews restaurant at airports and respect the diligent hard work of each TSA employee to ensure the safety of who else? Us.
Everyone will get a falafel with my image on it and a can of Fresca.
Wow.
Enjoy. Gobble up." My booby used to make that.
Your booby did?
That's a sweet memory.
Falafel and Fresca.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
She'd pack it in my lunch.
Uh-huh. That's got to be. That's a very sentimental.
It brings back memories.
Meal to you
of
yes.
being beaten half to death on the bus when they found out I had a falafel with my image on it.
Oh, you mean your booby would make it back yes. then with yes. your face? Okay,
I would cut it into the falafel with an X-Acto knife.
I had.
And then use dye to color in my features.
I had no idea.
She was a lunatic.
He said, while the TSA continues to work on our behalf without pay, we want to make sure that we can at least provide them with a delicious meal to show our
After
support.
All, they prepare our taxes.
No.
Well, that's the IRS. That's
okay, so... I love it when Gene shows up. One last story. Queen's Brian May is clearly over the moon with Bohemian Rhapsody's Oscar nomination.
You cannot breathe up there.
No, he's not way up above the moon. It's a figure of speech. The biopic scored no less than 5 nominations for Best Picture, Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, Best Film Editing, and Best Actor for Rami Malek's portrayal of Freddie Mercury.
I loved it.
To date, Bohemian Rhapsody stands as the highest-grossing music biopic in history. Earlier this month at the Golden Globes, Bohemian Rhapsody won the award for Best Motion Picture Drama, and Rami Malek, Malek had snagged the prize for Best Performance.
I think you and I agree it's everything we wanted Eddie and the Cruisers to be.
Yeah, but didn't quite live up to that.
Kathy, you saw it? Did you see it?
I did see it,
Did you like it?
I really liked
it. Yeah,
yeah. I did.
Brian May tweeted, amazing to get 5 Oscar nominations. Thankful, grateful, blessed. Amazing punch in the eye for all those whining critics. Amazing that, and he writes this, amazing that BBC News did a piece on all the Best Picture nominations tonight and completely ignored just one, Bohemian Rhapsody. And amazing that our country's media are still begrudging of our efforts after nearly 50 years. How amazing how it matters, because our friends vote with their feet. Thanks, folks. Always onwards, Bri. So he's
I love that guy.
He's excited. Me too. And that is what I have in music news for you this morning. Let's take another break. We'll be back in just a second to get ready to wrap things up. Pierre shall be in shortly to tell you what he's got in store for the rest of the day. So don't miss that. We'll be back in a moment.
Go find yourself.
Find you.
Why are you calling us?
Because I want $1,000.
You just won $1,000.
Thank you so much, MMR freaking rock.
Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Weezer on 93.3 WMMR. Buddy Holly, we were just talking about Weezer. They put out a covers album yesterday, loaded with all kinds of stuff. We played a little clip of Sweet Dreams, Eurythmics. They're doing Paranoid from Black Sabbath, Take On Me from A-ha, Billie Jean from... Michael, and a bunch of other things. So it's kind of an interesting little move. That whole Africa thing from Toto kind of opened up a bizarre door for them.
And I love their accurate redoing of it. You know, and as you said, sometimes you can be a cover band that just pays strict attention to the original, and other times you can riff on it. I'm cool with both, depending on how well they do it.
Yeah, they went for trying to reproduce it spot on. So, meaning at least the songs we listen to off of it. So.
I think more often for me, the spot on recreation works best, like in concert. Otherwise, you would just listen to the original. You know,
agreed. Like I remember, Foo Fighters did a cover of Baker Street.
Yeah,
that was pretty spot on too.
I love the original.
The guitar instead of sax.
Yeah,
but it was cool. So anyway, it's been a fun day today, despite the fact that we do have gloomy-looking conditions. It's actually quite warm out today when you step outside, but wet and a little gray, so there's a trade-off there. But we've had a good time today. We gave away $1,000. Going to do that again a little bit later on. Pierre will tell you about it in a moment. And we also had Richard Roundtree and Aldous Hodge in.
Yes.
And they both are starring in the movie What Men Want. And that'll be out on February 8th. It looks like a funny movie.
So the producer, one of the producers of the movie was here. They just loved the interview. And, yeah. and that's great. We were thrilled to have them.
I didn't know we had one of the producers here. Yes. So we were just kind of hanging out in the background. And we found out later on.
Very kind.
Yeah. Let me see here. So, and thank you to Marcus and Vince and the gang from the American Cancer Society for coming by today and talking about the ACS Bike-A-Thon. Register with Team WMMR right now. You can do it through acsevents.org. And let's make this the biggest and best one yet. So now we turn to Pierre and see what's going on. Hey, man.
Hey there.
How are you?
Not bad out.
Yeah, it's comfy.
You know, temperature-wise.
Yeah.
The weather in the East Coast is crazy enough. As it is, then you add in global climate change, and you go in a week from below zero wind chills to 58 degrees today. This is like, oh my God, what's going on?
And it'll be in the next couple of days. We kind of course correct. It's going to be back to like 40 degrees.
Well, it's a kooky degrees. World.
As they used to say, Preston, crazier than an S house rat.
There okay. you go.
That'll do too.
Yeah.
All right, shall we do the letter of the day,
yes.
my man?
Yes, indeed.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
I got floaties in my coffee.
Oh, man.
What the hell? I'm sorry, it's N as in neurotic,
N,
which is me.
That's you, apparently, over the floaties. All right, N. And we have a 4-pack of tickets and backstage passes to meet Dorothy Saturday, February 16th, TLA on South Street. Plus $75 to Lorenzo's for dinner, an autographed guitar, and a new turntable with Dorothy's latest on vinyl, 28 Days in the Valley. Lorenzo's, family-owned and operated since 1970. Visit Lorenzo and Sons on South Street in Westchester in the Wells Fargo Center and opening also in Xfinity Live this spring. So we give that away tomorrow because tomorrow's Friday. That's a beautiful thing just by itself. What's coming up today, man?
I'm going to get rid of my floaties.
Okay.
This poor guy. Floaties are when you have coffee and you add a little cream to it and it curdles and it floats near the top.
But
I call them floaties.
Since it's chemical cream anyway, you don't have to worry about it.
But this is half and half. This
It's made in the laboratory.
Well, there you go.
Where do you get it? Out of the kitchen?
I get it downstairs at Manja.
Oh.
There's some fresh cream from Dunkin' Donuts that we got this morning, and I'd like you to have that.
All right, thank you. But the coffee is useless. It has to go away.
Are you serious? You send your coffee back if that happens.
Oh, no, I can't drink this.
No,
oh
I wouldn't drink it either.
I wouldn't either.
You can't taste it.
Yeah, but the floaties just...
Who wants that?
Yeah, like, what if
all it's... All it is, it's more solidified creamer.
It's like having several...
A dead body in your soup.
Well, that or a bunch of dream catchers around your house. Yes. You know, it just
now Kathy knows what you're talking about.
Misery.
On the program today, we'll have a workforce block of Tool and the Eagles. We've got another couple of opportunities for $1,000 coming at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Plus the vinyl cut. It'll be a nice, dry day.
Yeah.
We'll make sure of that. All right, let me thank the sponsors. Our sponsor today, the Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Drexel University. Experience what it is like to study online at Drexel, drexel.edu/test drive. And also brought to you by Timothy Off Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Right now, you can save $30 on any repair. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk to our friend Adam McKay.
Yes.
Oscar nomination for Best Picture.
Oscar winner for, his adapted screenplay and then The Big Short. And now for this, he's on fire.
Yeah. So, and he's a Philly guy. So we'll talk to Adam tomorrow morning. And we'll wrap up the week, man. It's going to be great. Make sure you stay with us or come and join us tomorrow. Stay with Pierre for now. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I'm sorry, officer. I know I was speeding, but wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go came on the radio, and I just lost control. I'm sorry.
Next message.
I'm not sure if you guys remember, but...
Next message.
I can't stand that I live in a row home, and when I go home too late at night, I can't get a parking spot because you idiots don't know how to park. There's six people on my block that took up two spots. Someone needs to paint lines in the street. I've had enough. Please park your car right.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.